The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera & Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with the call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, what a difference 8 weeks makes, Marshall, or I suppose nine. Here we are. It is the first round of the playoffs, and the first description when we started off this year, and the first description the first few weeks was late summer. It was warm. People were wearing shorts. People were excited to come out, and we were worried about people cramping up because of the heat and humidity. Well, no worries about that tonight, folks. Temperatures are starting to plunge down right now as we enter this late October night. Lights are on. It's a beautiful, clear sky here in Middlebury, and we're getting ready and rolling towards the beginning of the first week of the playoffs here on 92.1 WVTK as the Middlebury Tigers, number two in Division One, undefeated so far this year and riding a 30-win winning streak over the last 3 years, are welcome to town, the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. Hello, everyone. I'm Bjarke Sears, along with my partner Marshall Hastings. We'll be bringing you all the action tonight and throughout the playoffs as the Tigers move on. And Marshall, kind of an interesting game as it sets up for tonight.
Absolutely. You got the rematch from last year's state championship game, the two undefeateds going at it for the Tigers and the Hilltoppers. And this season, a little bit, certainly a different look, especially with the recent suspensions here for a couple of the Hilltoppers superstars, including quarterback Colin Urie, who's going to be out here ineligible for the game. So that's going to lead the starting quarterback to be Jacob Cady, the freshman, 14-year-old, unproven. And this is that opportunity where you kind of think about it. You say, okay, you got a young freshman. He can either make or break. It's that typical, you know, state championship or national championship type college football where you have this unproven kid who can either come in and essentially, you know, begin his legacy, or can come in and kind of just watch a what's been a good season and a good run here for the Hilltoppers fade away. And it's going to be up to the Tigers to not really let that affect how they go about playing Katie. You know, play him the same way that you would have played Urie, who was having a fantastic season here for the Hilltoppers.
And as you mentioned, this is going to be, you know, he's a freshman. This is a 14-year-old who's going to be playing this. And Marshall, reflecting on, if you remember, I bet you remember your first varsity game. Not a playoff game.
No.
What's in your feelings in general in that moment, and what's your feeling when it's a playoff game, you think?
Well, I think the one thing that he's got going for him is he's on the road. And I know that sounds a little strange, but I think when you play that first home game, that's when the nerves really come out. And that's when, you know, you have all these fans that have come out to see your team, and not necessarily you in particular, especially as a freshman or a sophomore, but your team to come out and play. And you expect as a home team to win. You should be favored when you're on your home field, barring, you know, unless you're playing the Middlebury Tigers or Rutland or Hartford or a team along those lines. So I think that'll calm his nerves. But the thing is, he's got to replace a guy that threw for 27 touchdowns, has 10 scores on the ground. It's going to just be a matter of just going out there and getting that first hit and then getting into practice. And the coaching staff believes in him, and the coaches speak highly of him. So I think knowing that he has the backing of the coaching staff and the rest of his team, knowing you're a freshman and you're the backup quarterback, should ease the nerves a little bit. But I think being on the road should help him a little bit. You know, I know that's, you know, not typical. If this was a Division I college scenario, it's a totally different conversation. But this is not going to be, you know, 20,000, 30,000 people packed on top of you. You may be able to ease the nerves a little bit knowing that the entire town isn't watching, with some other people that may never know who you are after today until you get that start again.
And you're not necessarily going to feel that it's all on you. If you mess up, you're going to lose. If you didn't mess up, you're going to win. In this
right.
case, you're coming out and throwing a little bit of a Hail Mary, and that's maybe okay.
Well, I think that's up to the coaching staff, because like we said, this is, you know, Urie's a guy that threw for 2,000 yards, had run for 1,200 yards, total yards, 2,000 total yards and 27 total touchdowns. So this is a guy that's coming in. The coaches have had to tell him, hey, you're not coming in. We're not going to ask you to replace him. We don't want to see you do that. We want you to play your game. And so if the coaching staff can do that and get Katie into a position where he's comfortable and just saying, you know, this isn't all on you. If we win or lose, don't worry about it. This isn't your fault. Regardless, that's where it's going to come. Because as a player, you think, okay, I'm coming. I got to be that. I got to put up 2,000-yard type of, you know, abilities. The coach staff has to say, you know, play to your abilities. Don't try to be someone that you're not. Just play the game that you can. And if you can do that, we'll have success. But don't worry about it otherwise.
And with all the uncertainty surrounding the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers, the Middlebury Tigers coming in really the model of consistency and building themselves up throughout the season, a season that started with some games that were a little scary at times, really in the last few weeks. The Middlebury Tigers, although last week they were tied at halftime, certainly put the hammer down in winning the 40-13 over CVU up there under the lights in Hinesburg. So we're going to come back with more of the pregame, and we're going to talk more about your Middlebury Tigers coming up. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. We would like to congratulate the Middlebury JV and varsity football team on another undefeated regular season. Also, a big thank you to the coaches. Now it's time to put on your winter tires, do a custom winter service, and an oil undercoat your car. We are now using a fluid film rust inhibitor undercoating. Don't wait for snow. Call us at 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera and Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
Soon you will have many little ghouls and goblins knocking at your door in search of yummy sweet treats. Keep those little ghouls and goblins happy with some delicious candy from Middlebury Sweets. Middlebury Sweets is Vermont's largest candy store with a huge selection of bulk-wrapped candies that are sure to please the tummies of everyone who knocks at your door this Halloween. Put something unexpected in their trick-or-treat bags this year. We have the penny candies of yesteryear, the favorites you loved as a kid, and the popular candies of today. When you buy bulk, you buy what you want, not what is already prepackaged at the store. Save 50% off all bulk-wrapped candy, and now until October 30th. Just simply mention 50 Zombies to receive the discount. Middlebury Sweets, 12 Aussie Road, East Middlebury. Visit us at MiddleburySweets.com.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Tigers have taken the field. They're wearing their black uniforms, which a few years ago were brought out originally for homecoming games, and now are used in pretty much the standard kind of home outfit for the Tigers. So all black with very bright lettering on it. It's very announcer friendly, so we should have a good job with that. The field looks like it's in good shape. Marshall, what do you think about the track for the field tonight?
Well, certainly better than any playoff game I played at home. Since the irrigation went in, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, field's always been great. Certainly without a very dry fall, I think, you know, down in Massachusetts we've had maybe 2 days of rain and similar weather up here. So I think that certainly has helped the field a lot. And, you know, getting a dry track here, especially in the playoffs, you know, for speed players certainly helps. But I think that also could play to the advantage of a spread offense like Tank J. But, you know, being able to get your footing and knowing where you're going and knowing that you're not about to lose your step the next time you put it down certainly helps out, especially at this point in the season.
So as we talked about as we went to break here, the Tigers have been a model of consistency this year, and in fact have been building towards kind of the Tigers that we are very used to and we expected. And Marshall, what are a couple things that as the playoffs progress, a couple things that you feel like the Tigers really are oriented on doing right? What do you think are some things we should expect some strength out of them for?
Well, the base of this football team and the base that this football program has had over the last couple decades has been defense wins championships, and defense will get you there. So the key for this football team is continue to play this stifling defense that you have. You've given up 88 points on the season and only 7 in the second quarter, which I think goes a long way. You look at those fourth quarter, 40 points against here in the fourth quarter. So that's the only position where you have to really look at it. Then you go back and you look at some of the games where the fourth quarters came. You know, a lot of that came against Essex, and then some blowout wins. Some teams have tried to get some points late in the fourth quarter. But this football team, if you play defense, don't get rattled on offense. We played Colchester 2 years, or my senior season, in the playoffs. And Colchester had two drives that took them inside the 5-yard line in the first quarter. The first one, we stopped them at the 2. The next drive, we fumbled on the next play. We stopped them from the 5-yard line again. Defense wins championships for the Tigers. And if this football team is going to make another run, it's going to start on that defensive side of the ball. Continue to be aggressive. Continue to be relentless. Play to the whistle. Play aggressive. Just be that nonstop football team that these Tigers have proven that this season especially, they can be on defense.
And one of the other things that's come out this year has been the depth at running back. It was a question early on in the year, you know, where are those running back touches going to come from? And you were looking at the statistics over the course of the year, Marshall, and you saw something kind of interesting about the running back stats.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily surprising that no running back is near the 1,000-yard mark, as it hasn't really been done in the last, you know, 2 decades to see running backs reach that 1,000-yard milestone. But what's impressive to me is that no one player individually is. Often you might see a fullback get up to that 800, 900-yard mark by this season, but Cortland Fisher at 548 yards and Parker Gross 193 for the season from the fullback position. And then you look across it, Oakley Gordon, the quarterback, who you might even expect to have the most yards on the of the team, has 284, which is behind every single running back. Ali Abdul-Slater coming in with 399, Trey Kaufman at 455, and Jerry Nimmo at 308. This is a very spread-out attack, that each of them can do a lot with the ball at any point in time, which makes it for the defense. You don't know where the ball's going. You can't key in on one running back. If he motions, you swing to that side and shut him off. Wherever someone goes in motion, it has just as the likability that that ball's going that way as it might the other way on a counter. This is a very deep backfield, and each of them possesses the same kind of skill, that speed, quick movement, in the backfield, and that's what's going to be tough to stop here, especially for St. Jay, is you don't know where the ball's going, and each of these guys has the same ability to break it for at least 6-7 yards every time they touch the football. That's dangerous, and that's tough to stop.
Well, what's interesting, you talk about the same ability, and again, look at the stats a little more. Basically, their yards per carry, extremely similar.
Yep.
Anybody over... yeah, really over 9 carries is averaging right about 6 yards a carry, almost amazingly so. I mean, within a tenth of a yard, except for Jerry Nimmo, who does have a little bit of an outlier there. Now, he's only got 32 rushes, so maybe that throws off your average. It came down a little bit last week just because he touched it a little more in the last couple weeks, but everyone's right about 6 yards a carry. The amazing thing is there, that means that you're averaging a first down every 2 rushes.
Absolutely, and when you're a defense, that grows weary on you, especially when they're not even huddling up. So the Tigers might not be going at quite the same pace that we saw with the Austin Robinson regime where you could just get on the ball and you could run it with that type of speed. But the thing is that by not huddling up, that doesn't allow the defense to regroup. There's not a lot of time for communication on the defensive side of the ball. So when a football team clocks away 2 yards or two plays and they get a first down, now you keep doing that over and over again. The defense says, how are we going to stop these guys? We have no way of stopping them. It puts pressure on the offense to score immediately, knowing that you, if you can't answer on the defensive side of the ball, you're going to be in a 14-0 hole pretty quickly. So that's what it's going to do, is it's going to just wear on the defense mentally. And how do we stop these guys? At what point does this defense just crack and give into that? And that's what we've seen from the Tigers. A lot of second half drives have been that 6-7 yards of pop, because they've been able to just wear you down, and it gets to the point where the defense is exhausted and at the same time just mentally fatigued to the point that they don't know how they're going to get a stop. So they just almost, not necessarily give up, but they just don't have it in them to get a stop.
Well, it affects the defense, is also, as you point out, it also ends up affecting their offense.
Yes.
Right? You start pressing a little bit. As evidence of that, 15 interceptions on the year for the Tigers. The people listening at home say, okay, that's about two a game. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe two a game's kind of a lot. And especially since a lot of the teams you play are throwing, you know, maybe there's 10 opportunities a game for an interception.
Yeah, and that goes a long way to this. We were talking about the secondary had been a little, you know, had been beaten in some games, especially against Colchester, where the secondary just looked, you know, very, very depleted with a lot of balls going up over the top, and they didn't really show an ability to stop the ball underneath or over the top. But they've rebounded a lot, and I think a lot of that goes to the credit of the defensive line putting pressure on quarterbacks. Because when quarterbacks are stepping up and having position and having their feet set and throwing the football like Colchester did, that's when the secondary got exposed. But since that game, we've seen a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and especially in CVU, when they did try to throw the football, there was constant pressure. So those balls are now not being thrown precisely, they're being kind of just tossed up, not thrown away, just really just thrown up in the air, and that allows the defense to get underneath and make really easy interceptions.
And some of the quarterbacks the Tigers have been facing were not ninth graders
Exactly. Starting
their first game.
Exactly.
We're going to come back with a lot more pregame here. You're listening to high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance. Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October. Visit Della Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports. 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh.
Della Motorsports.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
My grandfather once said, people who care build something that people care about. It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding. Hey, everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good, honest deals, changing lives. It's a process, and it definitely takes time. At Poulin Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Poulin Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
The sky is darkening to the west. The lights are getting brighter and brighter. The Tigers are waiting on the sideline, waiting to take on their first-round opponent, the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers, who are still yet to emerge from their own locker room. So the Tigers coming in tonight carrying a 30-game winning streak. The Hilltoppers went 4-4 this year, thus getting them in the position of being the 7th-ranked team. So this is the number 2 and the number 7th-ranked team. If someone at home is wondering how the Middlebury Tigers ended up ranked 2nd, it has all to do with the QPR, quality points rankings. Basically, that is based on how tough your schedule was. The Rutland Raiders, and byproduct of having an undefeated schedule in the state, and in all honesty, facing a much tougher schedule than the Middlebury Tigers did this year. There's no arguing with that. Came into tonight as the number one team in the QPR, and they are taking on... Who are they taking on, Marshall?
They're taking on Mount Anthony.
Mount Anthony. And a couple other games on the schedule we thought were kind of interesting, Marshall.
The 3-6 matchup between Hartford and Colchester is not necessarily a disturbing matchup in my mind, but certainly one to look at. You look at Colchester, gave Middlebury everything they could handle, and I thought, you know, outside of a couple questionable play calls late in that game, Colchester played a better football game, and that's not taking anything away from the fantastic comeback that Middlebury put on. But they were throwing the ball all over the place, and Middlebury had no way of stopping it. Now, they lose Travis Boone to an injury, and the one kind of the really disturbing part of the whole thing is if you look at the write-up for this game, the preview in the Burlington Free Press, is Tom Perry comes out and says, you know, they may not start Booten at quarterback because their third stringer, Alex O'Connell, is coming. And to me, that's the big question mark because Boone's been a very good quarterback and what we saw from him was talented. But the most disturbing part to me is at the end. He says, to quote the Free Press, the run-first Hurricanes defeated Colchester in Week 2 by a 14-6 decision, a result Perry said wasn't as close as the final score indicated. You know, if you're going to come out and say that your team lost a close game and say, yeah, well, we kind of got blown out, it just doesn't show it, what type of confidence is that starting instilling in your football team?
That's a good point.
When you got to go take on Hartford, who, outside of Middlebury and Hartford, have been, for the past 5 to 10 years, have been the football teams to beat
sure. In
the state of Vermont. And you come out and say that to your football team. I'm not trying to question Coach Perry's, you know, actions, but to me, that's a questionable thing. I'm not coming out and saying, yeah, that score, that's not that close. We could have gotten beat by a lot more. I'm coming out and saying, hey, we should have won that football game. Things along those lines. False confidence is confidence. And when you're playing Hartford and you're in the playoffs, any confidence is good confidence. And so that's one game, though, to look at it again. Whatever matchup that the Tigers get, Hartford, we haven't seen that. So that's the first kind of questionable thing. And then with Colchester, like we talked about earlier, the one really close game that Middlebury's played this season, it would be an interesting rematch considering that Colchester threw the ball all over the place on Middlebury. Middlebury's secondary has been a little suspect to the passing game. It'd be interesting what kind of adjustments Middlebury comes in and makes, as well as Colchester, depending on who's under center.
And to put a little more context to that, there was a point where I think, you know, hadn't it been drops, I think Colchester could have been ahead 35-0 in that game.
Absolutely.
Had they not dropped the ball.
Absolutely.
And on the other hand, to give a little more context, Hartford, who is sitting number 3 in the QPR, lost one game in state. They did play one team from out of state. They lost one team game in state. That was to Rutland. That was last week. They were ahead 20-0, and then the kind of wheels came off the wagon. Rutland started tossing it around and ended up scoring with 34 straight points, I think, against them. So certainly an interesting matchup to look at, and either of those teams would be the ones the Tigers would take on next, provided they prevail tonight. And then the other one, CVU at Brattleboro. And really, there's interesting stories all over the state. And I think the one that stands out to me, probably CVU, certainly a growing team. We don't expect them to be in there for the championship this year. But a team where, in a couple of years, even next year, they could make some noise. But Brattleboro, with Chek Chiquite, their extremely strong and fast running back, kind of a unique player in the state in some ways, in many ways. So that's also kind of just an interesting story for people to watch tonight,
absolutely,
to pay attention to, and just kind of be interested in. So those will certainly be fun to watch over the night, and my guess is we'll probably have some out-of-town scores as we go.
Will. And it's interesting to say real quick that the two teams here, the 4 and the 8 seed, Brattleboro and Mount Anthony, respectively, both petitioned to stay in D1. So think of that. If Brattleboro had gone down, they're the number 4 seed right now. They got a home playoff game in D1. Imagine them in D2, a very good D2 with Milton's, Fair Havens, and the Burn Burtons of the world. Would have made for an interesting matchup, but you got to credit those organizations saying, hey, we want to stay in D1. And then you come out, you make the playoffs, kind of an opposite of what Rice did. They wanted to stay down, and
sure. Certainly
they've had their lumps, and they've taken their lumps this season, but that a big credit to the coaching staff and the players of Brattleboro and Mount Anthony to make it to the postseason after being asked, do you want to go down, and saying, no, we want to stay here, we want to compete, knowing they have rosters that can do it.
And particularly with the way, especially Mount Anthony, I mean, the last few years had just kind of been painful.
And yeah. Their
numbers were pretty small and everything else. But it's a fun place. You know, it's a place of fun tradition. I have to be honest, Mount Anthony's one of my favorite places to broadcast from. You didn't have a chance to do it this year, but you've certainly played there.
Yes.
And it's fun. The band comes out of the field. It's kind of a cool environment. environment, the Bennington Battle Monument's in the background. It's just a good, fun place to see a football game.
Absolutely.
It's nice for us to get to experience that. And maybe next year, be traveling down the way to Bennington. You never know the way the schedule comes out. Well, Marshall, why don't we hear a little bit about the starters here for tonight's game between the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers and the Middlebury Tigers?
We'll start with the St. J. offense. Of course, Jacob Cady replacing Uri under center. The freshman will be the quarterback up front. Xavier Giddings, Tom Emery, and Matt Emery. Gabriel Solomon and Brody Talcott. And the wide receivers, Antonio Carlisle, Patrick Greenan, Ethan Roberts, in the backfield. Aaron Morrison and Bastian Palati. And the key thing about this is three seniors will be the starters this season for St. J. Hilltoppers. A very young football team, especially with the suspensions, losing two seniors and a junior under center. To the Tiger defense at defensive ends, Jerry Nemo and Brady the Rock up inside. Wyatt LeBurge, Nick Beauchamp, and Bruce Wright at the linebacker position. Sawyer Ryan gets to start again as Corlin Fisher has been not demoted, but has been preserved in that full fullback position, along with Chris Greer at the linebacker position. And in the secondary, Andrew Gleason, Ali Abdul-Sader at the cornerbacks, and in safety, Oakley Gordon and Jack Honcho returns to the secondary here for the Tigers.
And so it's important to note, although we've talked about Colin Urie and how he being out tonight will affect the game, and it'll be interesting to see. That's something certainly we'll be watching. Not the only person that's out, right? St. Johnsbury's missing some folks along
Absolutely.
The way.
They'll be missing up front. The services, got to find them. Hatcher D'Agostino at the O-line and D-line position. That's a senior. That's a big loss as well. And then in the secondary, the Hilltoppers will be without, if I can find the name here, Mihal Sourgiadakis.
Sourgiadakis,
So two seniors that you'll be going to be without. Certainly big losses for the Hilltoppers. So they're going to be very young on both sides of the football.
And they did come out a little late from the locker room compared to most teams, whether they were trying to stay warm, whether they were working on some last-minute adjustments, some last-minute kind of keep-this-in-mind sorts of things. We can't totally tell. But I think we'll be able to tell a lot by the way everything kicks off and by the way everything jumps out here as the game starts. So what are you going to look for in this game as we begin here?
Just going to look, what type of impact does Jacob Cady have in the backfield? How does he come out and play against this Tiger defense, one of the best, if not the best, in the state right now? How does he respond to the pressure of being a freshman quarterback? And you look on this roster, there's other quarterbacks above him. A sophomore and a junior quarterback, Nate D'Agostino and Colin Urie, of course. You come in and you're the youngest of three quarterbacks, along with Derek Holbrook, who's a junior as well. Being a freshman and getting that, being the number two quarterback, certainly has proven it. But now how does he deal with the nerves against this defense? Then on the defensive side of the ball for Middlebury, don't let the fact that he's a freshman fool you, because this kid can come out and throw, and the coaching staff thinks highly of him. And if he's high enough to be a freshman and be a number two on a St. J. team that just previously last season went undefeated and lost in a state championship game, you cannot overlook the fact that he still was a number two for a reason, regardless of how old he is or how small in the pocket he will be. So this is going to be a big, interesting fact. How does St. J. keep their quarterback calm, and how does Middlebury not get overwhelmed with the fact that this is a freshman and not try to overlook him?
And that's where coaching comes in. That's where captains come in. And certainly it was the talk of the school today. The students talking about it, they weren't sure whether it was totally true, how much information they had and everything else. And certainly if there's any coaching staff in the world that kind of keeps people grounded and keeps them focused, I think it's Dennis Smith from the boys. I think it's kind of their calling card is, that everything we hear from their players on a weekly basis when we interview them, everything else, I think they know the way it works. Well, we're going to step aside here for a moment, and when we come back, we are going to have the kickoff of tonight's first round playoff game. It is going to be high school football action, first round playoff action on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergence and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury. There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. You'll like doing business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Fort Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we hear the last echoes of the Star-Spangled Banner being sung by juniors Megan Clark, Hadley Evans-Nash, and Hannah Rock out of the field. And the Tigers come out to take the field against the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. The Middlebury Tigers coming in with a record of 8-0, and the Hilltoppers coming in with a record of 4-4. Teams that have met twice in the last 2 years. Don't forget, folks, this was last year's championship game as the teams came in undefeated and met each other down in Rutland. With the Tigers prevailing by a hefty score, the Tigers anticipating prevailing by a hefty score tonight. But Marshall, that's why you play the games. That's why you travel all this way. The Hilltoppers traveling a long 3-plus-hour bus ride to get here, to get off the bus. You don't just come to be a sacrificial lamb. You come here to try to go out and do the best you can.
Now, absolutely. We talked about earlier in the Brattleboro matchup for Middlebury was the impact of a bus ride. And I think the key is going to be to this coaching staff for St. Jay is getting these guys up and saying, hey, we may be on a long bus ride. We may have to go, you know, over the mountain and get here. But now let's come out and play fire. Play a little, you know, like this bus ride meant something to you. Now, you get the premier bus. Certainly is a little bit better than a school bus for St. Jay, but this is a football team that you're 1 year removed from a state championship, and nothing will be sweeter than coming out and beating the team that ended your perfect season a year ago on their home field in the first round of the playoffs.
And the Tigers are set up to kick it off to the St. Jay Hilltoppers. We've got Oakley Gordon get ready to kick it off. We have several Hilltoppers waiting back near the end zone. One far back standing at about his 5-yard line. The Hilltoppers will be going from left to right on your radio dial from south to north. Tigers going from north to south. And he goes down, gets picked up at around the 15. And the return man coming up the middle. He's got some space, but he's gotten wrapped up by Spencer Carpenter. And he's going to bring him down at about the 26. That was returned by Alercio, Shane Alercio on that return, the sophomore doing the work for the Hilltoppers. And here come the Hilltoppers looking over to the left, trying to get their plays in. It's like they're running a fairly similar system to how the Tigers do in getting their system from the sidelines. However, very different offensive look. They have at the moment two wide receivers, one running back, and the young freshman, Jacob Cady, under center. And they begin by rushing straight up the middle right into the heart of the defense. A nice little pickup, actually, to start right off the bat. That carry was by number 23, Ethan Roberts, and he picked up about 5 yards.
Expect the St. Jay Hilltoppers to go behind Xavier Giddings, the starting left tackle. He's been named to the North-South roster for St. Jay, along with Hatcher Degastino, who's not in the game tonight.
And it's a handoff to Roberts again as he cuts up the middle, finds a nice little hole there, and gets very close to the first down. We'll see if they give it to him. The officials are very close to that line. But nice hole opened up by the middle of that line into the Tigers' defense.
And wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of carries here early in this football game for Ethan Roberts. Let Jacob Cady get used to being in this game, used to being in live action. Let Roberts run a little bit.
And first down, Cady in the shotgun gives it up to Roberts, but Roberts is immediately pummeled in the backfield. That's going to be a loss of one. It's going to be second at about 11 from the St. Jay 36.
And that's going to be from Wyatt LaBurge, one of the Tigers' 5 North-South selections, going right through Xavier Giddings, one of the two for the St. Jay Hilltoppers going to the North-South football game. That's going to be the battle on that offensive line. You've got two North-South selections in Wyatt LaBurge and Nick Beauchamp. How are these guys going to respond? How are they going to play? And that's going to be the big key for the Tiger team.
Katie back in the shotgun with two wide receivers line. He keeps it for himself, heading over to the right side, puts his head down and just kind of plows in. He gains 4, but it's going to be 3rd and long for the Hilltoppers. Brewers early on in the first quarter.
A relatively, you know, questionable run there for St. Jay and Katie. He hits the hole, and there was certainly there as Jay Nemo had been spread out wide. If he hits a hole with a little bit more ferocity, he might be able to get a little bit more than 4 yards there. Instead, kind of slows up late and just basically tosses his body into the fray, unable to break any tackles when you're going backwards.
Katie in the shotgun. Fakes it over to Roberts. Now he's looking downfield. He has a man open right in the middle, but he drops it. They had an opportunity there, Brody Talbot did, but he just put it on the ground.
And that's tough because that's a ball that should be caught. That's a good throw there from Katie, you know, a little bit behind the receiver, but certainly a ball when it hits your hands should be able to turn around and get that thing going. Instead, now the Hilltoppers are going to be facing fourth and long and be forced to punt here.
And they are going to punt, and Katie with double duty here. He is the punter, as we so often see with these quarterbacks. And he gets away a decent one. It's going to land at around the 30 and going to get returned by Oakley Gordon here, who's manages to elude a man, get over to the left side. He's got some open space, getting out to about the 46 before he gets driven out. Tigers are going to have very nice field position to start their first drive of the night.
An interesting return as the Tigers go to just Oakley Gordon back in the return game. They don't go to the two-man return to set up the reverse. They're just trying to get the ball and go. As we've seen a lot of kicks and punts for the Tigers here not be returned at all as they just let him bounce. So Oakley Gordon going back, taking control, gets the ball about the 32, picks up about 12, 15 yards on that return.
And it's Oakley under center with his three running backs and a double wing in the backfield. He's calling it out, and he turns and he hands it to Cortland Fisher, who tries to cut up the middle. Strong work by the defensive line of St. Johnsbury. Grabs him right before even he can return to the line of scrimmage. That's the way for St. J. They wanted to start this defensive game.
And that's a very good play there from getting Zemery, Hayes, and Talbot up front for the St. J. Hilltoppers. They were at the line of scrimmage. They got through. They did not get bounced back at all. If they can stay at the line, it will slow down this running attack here for the Tigers.
Gordon's got two tight ends standing up on each side with his three receivers, or three running backs. Gordon keeps himself running towards the outside, pitches it to Ali Abdel-Sader, has a nice hole on the far side, picks up the first down, and then more. He turns on the Jets, and he has an excellent pickup of about 25 yards. He gets down to almost the 30 of the Hilltoppers.
And that's going to be a great play. I believe that was Trey Kaufman there, lead blocking there for the Tigers. It does a great job of getting into the secondary and sealing the cornerback down inside. So by the time Oakley Gordon pitches it out to Abdel-Sader, no problem. There was no one left to defend him, no one else to stop him. Oakley Gordon a big game.
Tigers on the 33 of the Hilltoppers. 9:15 left to go in the first quarter. 0-0, but the Tigers are on the move. And Gordon now hands it over to that is Trey Coffer to get stuffed in the backfield. A big stuff, actually, about a 6-yard loss, maybe a 5-yard loss. Trey tried to turn it back around and simply was unable to do so.
And that's a good play there from Matthew Roy, the middle linebacker here for the Hilltoppers. Does a great job of getting through and into the backfield, is able to follow essentially like we've been talking about on a counter. The lead man is going to pull, the offensive lineman going to pull, gets in the back hip, leads him right to Trey Kaufman, and the Tigers are going to lose 5.
And Gordon's got his two tight ends and three running backs. He's under center. He's called out, a little bit of motion. Ali goes in motion from left to the right. Oakley keeps it himself. Nice delay there as he spins it, goes up the middle, crashing forward, able to pick up a first down. Nice run. Absolutely froze a man in his tracks about halfway through that run.
And the great play on that was the setup earlier on the pitch from Oakley Gordon on the previous play to Ali Abdel-Sader. This time, it gets the defenseman thinking that if anything goes outside, he's got to get there. Oakley Gordon does a little bit of a shoulder fake as if he's tossing the ball out. That lets the defender outside, and a great job cutting back up inside and getting about 14.
Actually, it's about 3rd and 1 here because of that earlier loss for the Tigers. But Oakley's rolling back, and this time he's looking downfield. He's rolling out to his right. He's got a man open right in the middle. It's popped up in the air, almost in the ends up in the hands of a Hilltopper. It's going to be a 4th and 1 for the Tigers, probably in a going for it situation.
And the Tigers get lucky there as Oakley Gordon fires that one behind Sawyer Ryan, I believe it was. Check myself, Brady LaRock there on the crossing route. And what that does is it pops up there, and St. Jay had 3 guys ready to catch that one, but bounced off a couple helmets and hits the ground. Second ball we've seen thrown today from either side where it's behind the receiver. Not doing a great job from the quarterbacks right now, leading receivers downfield as the ball's going behind them.
Important play here is it's 4th and 1. Oakley Gordon under center, calling it out. 2 tight ends, running backs. Corlin Fisher trying to get going. Gets Oakley, keeps it himself, finds a hole to the outside, bounces forward for a nice gain there of about 3, and they have gotten within the 20 of the Hilltoppers. Nice game by Oakley. He's showing some nice patience tonight.
He is, and one thing that we're seeing a lot of from St. Jay is a lot of pre-snap movement on the defensive line, and they kind of are almost trying to bait the Tigers into thinking they're doing one thing and then disguising it into another. So that time they open up as if they're going to leave a hole to the middle of the field, allow the Tigers to just go right up inside. Last second, they shift to the middle. Tigers can't get distracted by that. Run the play that you have and know that your assignments will get the holes and not where they line up.
First and 10 from about the 18 of the Hilltoppers. Gordon has it, and he keeps it himself, running over to the left. He pitches it back to his man, but it's on the ground. Trey Covenant got behind him. Trey runs back, but it's a big loss there as he ends up all the way back at the 25, a loss of 7. For the Tigers, they've had more negative plays than they usually do.
And that's a tough one. That's just poor pitch relationship there. As Oakley Gordon hits the edge, he's expecting his guy to be about 5 yards away from him, 1 yard behind him. That's the relationship you want to keep. And Oakley Gordon was more like 7 yards away from him rather than five, so as Oakley Gordon has to pitch that thing, it's a little bit behind Kaufman because he's trying to put more into it and unable to rally that one up.
Oakley now has three wide receivers and two running backs here. Oakley keeping himself, got to the right side. Big gap opened up by the line, and he's able to plow forward. Gets a lot of what they had lost back. He's going to get up to about the 13 here, but it is going to be third down.
And the Tigers are going to go quick to the line. I like this call, potentially going back to the same play.
And Gordon under center here with two wide receivers. And they go up the middle. Cortland Fisher plowed forward, gets across the 10. That's not going to be enough for the first down.
And that's what the Tigers are going to do. They're going to have a play that hits big, and they're just going to go right back to the line of scrimmage and run the exact same play back, essentially just to keep these Hilltoppers off balance and allow them to not make any substitutions. This time they don't get a big game, but enough to bring up a fourth and two.
Fourth and two from about the 9 here for the Tigers. Another chance of fourth down here. They've got a few wide receivers out there. They've got Trey Kaufman going in motion. They've got Oakley Gordon keeping it himself. He pitches it to Trey again. He lost it again. This time he's on the 14. That's going over to St. Jay and the Tigers. This model of consistency, boy, not looking very consistent right now.
It's not, but you got to take some type of positive. The one thing on that was two plays. The Tigers just did not have any pitch relationship between Trey Kaufman and Oakley Gordon. Trey Kaufman was a little too far away, so by the time Oakley Gordon is making that pitch, he's going to have to chuck that one so far that Oakley Gordon is just more, not as much accuracy on the pitch. But take some type of positive. You get the ball to the 10 and should have had first downs had it not been for a loss of 5 and a loss of 7 on those two fumbles. Now you have to go back and say, okay, we played good enough on defense to get stops. Get the stop again and come back out on offense again.
And Jacob Kennedy now under center for the Hilltoppers, rolling out to his left. Throws it over to a man. Another nice opportunity there, but dropped by the receiver. Would have been a gain of about 5. Nicely delivered ball by Kennedy. We'll give that to the coaches. Went right out of the receiver's hands.
Absolutely. Tiger football brought to you by Vermont Field Sports for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 in Middlebury and the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol. Sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified.
And Katie looking now, it's going to be 2nd and 10 from the Hilltoppers 14 where they had taken the ball over. Katie has it, hands it to his running back up the middle, finding a decent little hole right in the center of the Tigers defense. Going forward to about 4 was Roberts.
And this is a little bit, going back to that pass, but like you said, a good ball. The ball just was dropped by the receiver. Katie had a man open downfield if he wanted to stretch the field a little bit, but typical of a lot of backup quarterbacks, you get in a game, you don't want to lose the game early on by throwing an interception. So you go to those checkdowns, you don't test the arm. You don't see if you can hit that guy deep for a game-changing throw. See that at all levels of football. I'd like to see Katie try to make a big play, try to change a game with his arm.
Katie gets it in the shotgun. He's looking downfield to try to do that. He's being flushed out to his right, being gunned over towards the sideline and goes back just about where he started, maybe a gain of 1 or 2, but forced out of bounds by the Tigers. Wasn't much going downfield for him.
And one thing we talked about in the pregame was the capability of the Tiger defense to be so stifling that you put a lot of pressure on opposing offenses to make plays every time you're out there, especially when your defense isn't as effective. The Hilltoppers get that stop on their opening drive, granted to be late in their territory, can't capitalize on offense.
Katie's now punting it down. Oakley Gordon waiting for it around the 50. He grabs it at the 50, hits it off to Honchel, who's over here on the near sideline. Gets some nice openings, sprung by a couple blocks, gets about 10 yards, probably more than he expected, gets up to the 35 on St. Jay. Excellent field position here for the Tigers to start their second drive.
And I think the Tigers got away with a block in the back there as Bastian Pilati there for St. Jay was knocked down from behind. I believe it was by Chris Greer at the 45 and right in front of the back judge, but no penalty flag thrown. And that's certainly a good luck there, or not good luck, but good fortune for the Tigers. As should be the ball on their own 40-yard line. Instead, they're at the 42-yard line headed in.
That's right, about the 37, actually, even better. So it's going to be so Oakley Gordon under center. He's got his three running backs. There goes Jerry Nemo in motion from the left to the right. And here goes the handoff to Trey Coffin from the right to the left. Huge hole for Trey. Goes popping through, puts off some speed. Now he's got about six Highlanders trying to take him down. He never even falls down. Eventually the officials blow the whistle, but that was a nice game. Stopped at about the 21. That was about a
15-yard
gain.
And a little bit more patience for Trey Coffin probably could have opened that up to a 20-30-yard gain, as he doesn't allow Chris Greer to get the block on Burke Hughes, the cornerback for the Hilltoppers. But regardless, a great run and the counter set up very well from these previous option plays that the Tigers have had success with.
Tigers are set up on the 23 of the Hilltoppers, still tied, but the Tigers moving. And now it goes to Jerry Nemo. He's looking for a hole on the right side. Goes through in the violent way he usually does. Broke through that hole, but the linebacker got to him. Still a gain of about four for a high step at Jerry Nemo.
And give credit there to the Hilltoppers defense. They do a great job of not allowing Wyatt LeBurge through the offensive line to make that downfield block on the counter. Nick Beauchamp was able to kick out the defensive end, but Wyatt LeBurge is going to get caught in a little bit of muck at the line. He's not able to get through that hole ahead of Jerry Nemo, and that prevents Nemo from breaking that for a long gain.
Second and seven for the Tigers from the St. Johnsbury 18. And the handoff goes to Oakley Gordon again, trying that right side. He's found success before, and he was able to get more success, pick up a first down there on that seven-yard scamper.
And these options right now for Oakley Gordon are all set up off of one play on the opening drive. The pitch play that he does to Ali Abdul-Sitter has that defense now thinking. Anytime he gets to the edge, they realize that pitch man's there. And all Oakley Gordon has to do now is half a shoulder fake, and the defensive cornerback is just sliding out, and that's opening up a wide lane inside for Oakley Gordon. He's taking advantage of it and getting the Tigers inside the 15.
We've seen more plays developed by him, whether he's pitching it out or whether he's running, than we've seen all season long in any individual game. So it is a first and 10 for the Tigers, and they are getting close. The score is tied 0-0, but they're knocking on the door. He's got one wide receiver over to the left. He's got a running back in motion from the right to the left, but this time he's holding it again, and this time the pitch works. He gets it to Trey Coffin over on the left side. It doesn't gain them much. They get back to the line of scrimmage, but it was just nice to see that handoff, that long pitch handoff, actually work.
Tigers certainly aren't having as much success to the left side of the defense as they are to the right with that triple option. The Hilltoppers are doing a good job here on the Tiger sideline of the field of shutting down both the pitch man and Oakley Gordon up inside. On the other side of the field, the Oakley Gordon has been able to get one-on-one matchups with the cornerback, allowing him to really be able to allow that fake to be utilized to its top proficiency.
Second and 10 from the 10 for the Tigers. Gordon under center. He looks back. This time it's going to Jerry Nemo. He's working over towards the right side. He's got a couple blocks and swims through a man. Nice game there by Jerry, getting very close to the end zone.
And this is essentially a carbon copy of the first drive that we saw. A lot of counters and options, which the Tigers have been relying all season, but having a lot of success each time. The Tigers fizzled out because of those two fumbles late on the drive. This time, being able to keep the ball in their hands and not putting it on the ground has really helped them, obviously. And now they're inside the five-yard line on third and two.
Third and two, and then there's maybe about another foot between you get before you get to the goal line. And Gordon under center with his three running backs. This time he decides just to keep it himself. That's a touchdown for Oakley Gordon. The Tigers are on the board.
And that's a great drive from Middlebury. They do a fantastic job of just doing what they did on the first drive, but taking care of the ball much better. The pitch relationship was much stronger between Oakley Gordon and Trey Coffin. And when they went to the right side of the field with Ali Abdul-Sater and Oakley Gordon running the option, Oakley Gordon does a great job. He's already in the head now of the defensive backs, knowing that just half a shoulder flick, like we talked about earlier, is going to open up that lane inside for him, and he's getting a lot of good yardage on every time he touches the ball to the right side of the field.
Now Oakley's in to go for the point after here. The snap is going to come into Andrew Gleason, who's going to put it down. There's the snap. It's down, and it's up, and it is good. So the Tigers, the first to get on the board in this playoff game. Middlebury 7, St. Johnsbury 0. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto-loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, the Middlebury Tigers took over the ball in great field position and then made it work for them, getting all the way down and punctuated that drive with a two-yard touchdown run by Oakley Gordon on the quarterback keeper. Oakley also got the PAT, and the Tigers lead the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers with 2:26 left to go in the first quarter by a score of 7-0. Oakley with the kickoff here down to the Hilltopper returners. Found a nice hole in the middle of the field. Eventually, Oakley coming up and putting the stick to him at about the 38 of St. J. Nice hole in the middle, but then it does fell to the punter to finally bring the runner down. Out come the Hilltoppers here. It's going to be their third possession. Can Jacob Cady get something going?
Tiger football brought to you by Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms, and by Hustis Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Hustis family of Bridport.
And Cady looking over to get his signals. He has no running back in the backfield right now. He has three wide receivers right now, as he now Aaron Morrison split out wide to the right. Two wide receivers, including Patrick Greenan, out to the left. Cady waits for it. He gets it in the shotgun, throws it out towards that left sideline. And it's Greenan who gets it, finding a nice little room to work over on that far sideline. Pretty quick little 7-yard pickup there for the Hilltoppers.
And we have seen Cady have a lot of confidence in the backfield. He throws a good ball, a nice tight spiral there, and I like the play call. You go to a short little screen pass type quick pass to the left side, get some type of confidence going for Cady, who has had a little bit of trouble getting that first two completions to go. Does a good job getting an easy one, get some confidence going here on second down.
And Cady's called for with two wide receivers going for the same play, this time on the opposite side, getting out towards the sideline, a lateral pass, able to pick up a first down, and about a 7-yard gain on that one.
And a good block there from Bastian Pilati there for the Hilltoppers on the outside. Does a good job of keeping Andrew Gleason away from the receiver and able to get that first down or get close to it, as they're going to be well ahead of the first down, actually, from this spot. And that's going to be the first down for the Hilltoppers with 1:36 left to go in the first half. But now St. J. offense gets a little confidence, and Cady knows he can lead this offense down the field.
That was Justin Mock on the catch for St. J. Cady now in the shotgun, the same system. They're kind of running the same play, going to the same side. This time just overthrows Mock, who this time is out on the left side. Actually, that was Shane Alercio, who was out on the left side. Basically running a very similar play all three times, except that time they had wide receiver go deep to try to free up some space.
And if Cady gets that ball out to, like you said, Alercio, a little bit sooner, he's got him wide open in the flats there, but he overthrows him one, and he waited a little bit. That allowed the defender, allowed Brady LaRock to get over there and be able to pick him up if he were to make the reception.
Cady with two wide receivers to the left, one to the right. This time he fakes it. He's looking down, but now he decides to run it. Actually able to squeeze up a little bit of space with a spin move there. Looked a little scared and was able to pick up about 2 yards on that run.
Certainly an athletic run there from Cady to get something where he avoids the first tackler, Bruce Wright, and then puts a spin move on the second defender. I believe that was Sawyer Ryan, to get 1 yard from that play, 1 or 2 yards. But he, like you said, he did look a little scared at the end. He dives down. Had he stayed up, he might have been able to get 4 or 5 yards before the defense had collapsed on him.
And because he didn't, he's now got a third and long, third and about 8 here. They have moved into Tigers territory. They're at the 47. With 46 ticks left on the first quarter clock. Cady gets it back in the shotgun. He's looking downfield. He has a man going on a slant. But the best thing his man was able to do was knock it down. It was Aaron Morrison making sure that it wouldn't be an interception. No opportunity there for the Hilltoppers. Now they're looking at 4th and 8.
Now, although they don't get the completion, that's a great read from Cady. Now, the Hilltoppers are going to go to two seams on the outside, and then the inside man's going to run a slant. Morrison was running a slant, and no one was home in the middle of the defense for the Tigers. He does a good job leading him into that zone. The only problem was the throw was a little bit high. You get that down, Morrison able to catch that in stride. That's a first down and some for the Hilltoppers.
Well, it's pretty early to go for it on 4th and 8, but right now, nope, that's a better decision than any football team in the first quarter. It's going to be a punt. He shifted back into a punt formation, but now he's looking downfield. Nope, he is going to punt it away. It's going to land for the Tigers at about the 20. It's still bouncing. They're just going to let it go, taking a Hilltopper roll. The Tigers are going to get it again at their own 11.
And some out-of-town scores for you. The Rutland score just coming in. 4:10 left in the first quarter. The Red Raiders on top of Mount Anthony, 7-0. So the number one seed in Vermont takes the lead early in the first quarter for the Red Raiders. And now the Tigers, the number two seed, coming in. Two good drives to start off this football game. The first one fizzles out due to their own faults with some miscommunication and bad pitch relationship. Now the second drive had a lot of success. Long field to go from your own 12. If this offense can do what it did in the first two drives, though, an 88-yard drive should not be too daunting.
And the Tigers coming in, they are leading by a score of 7-0 right here near the end of the first quarter. A little shift on the defense by St. Jay. This time the handoff going to Trey Kaufman. Tried that left side of the line where they haven't seen a lot of success. Not much success there either. About a yard.
And probably will be the last play of the first quarter as the clock has hit 15 seconds left. But expect a little more counter options. Counter read, for the Tigers. They had a lot of success on that previous drive with the counter. The option obviously has worked all game and on all season with Oakley Gordon. Expect more balls in his hand as the game goes on. But the Hilltoppers aren't doing a great job of shifting with this Tiger offense in the first quarter. Wouldn't be surprised to see more of that in the second.
And we'll come back for the second quarter here. It's the end of the first as the Tigers let it tick down. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember...
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And to start off the second quarter here at Doc Collins Field in Middlebury, the Middlebury Tigers are coming out. They have second and nine here to go. They are leading by a score of 7-0 here in the first home playoff game of the year. The Middlebury Tigers taking on the St. J. Hilltoppers on 92.1 WVTK. Oakley Gordon under center with his three running backs. Calling it out, he's got Ali Abdul-Sader coming in motion from the right to the left. And this time they hand up the middle to Cortland Fisher, bowling forward there for a gain of about two, thrown down to the ground by Aaron Morrison.
And that's going to be the the second straight rather decent spot. Now, the Tigers are going to have to go with third and about 6 yards. But the first two plays of the Tigers haven't hit quite as well as we saw in the first quarter on their first two drives. Expect maybe a little bit more of the counter look again, which has had a lot of success for Middlebury, especially in the first quarter of this football game.
And now they have one wide receiver into the Tigers, Chase Mesner. They've got to a variety of different ways this season. Ali's going in motion. Oakley's rolling back. Oakley's looking downfield, looking for a receiver. He's had a chance, but he had to throw it low. And no chance for it to be caught by Parker Gross.
And the Tigers go to the counter, play action pass, and it's well defended. The secondary for St. Jade sees that coming, and they lock up in man. They know that they can't give in to the fake. It's a good fake as well. This is a play that the Tigers have hit multiple times. They scored two touchdowns against Rice with the play action counter. This time, though, the secondary backs off, doesn't allow Oakley Gordon to find anyone downfield wide open at all.
Fourth and five for the Tigers. They're putting it away from their own three. They're not looking like world beaters right now. In fact, the man's waiting for the punt at about the Tiger 47. And here's Oakley's punt. It's going to land at about the 41 and take a Hilltopper bounce. They're not going to touch it, and it's going to roll back. Hilltoppers are going to have excellent field position here, about the 38, very close to where the Tigers took it over on their scoring drive.
High school football in 92.1 brought to you by Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the Co-op Chicks, for all of your insurance needs, and by Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. And this will be a big drive here for Katie. He's had a little success on the last drive, misses a couple open receivers, and has a good ball thrown to Morrison, just a little high. So he's got a little bit more confidence going after that previous drive. Good field position, only down by seven.
He has Ethan Roberts in the backfield with him, and he hands it off to Roberts. Roberts plows forward, maybe back to the line of scrimmage, a little bit of pass, and although not much of a gain, you have to think you have to have Roberts in there to make the defense at least have to think about some different options.
Absolutely, especially with a freshman back, just to take all the pressure off of Katie. This is an offense that was relying a lot on Colin Murray early in the season and throughout, subject to the 27 total touchdowns from him. You got to try to make sure that Katie doesn't come in and feel like he has to build up to that, and that's going to be with Roberts.
Katie rolling to his right, looking downfield for two potential receivers. They're covered pretty well. Katie's having to pull it down, and he gets absolutely smothered 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Bruce Wright was pressuring him, And then man came up and absolutely put it to bed. That was Brady LaRocque with the sack.
And that's a great play from LaRocque. Coming from the backside defensive end position, KD does a good job stepping up in the pocket, tries to extend the play, but extends the play so much that LaRocque is able to get the time to come in and make the stick.
Third and 14 here for St. J. They are moving backwards, trailing by a score of 7-0 with 10 minutes left to go in the second quarter. It's KD back in the shotgun with Roberts, one wide receiver on either side. KD has it. He's looking downfield, dropping back, and he's looking to air it out. He's got a man open, and he's very clear. He's got a wide open space into the touchdown, and that it is going to be a touchdown for St. Johnsbury. Really an uncontested one. Ethan Roberts managed to get out there and absolutely just took that thing over.
The St. J coaches have had good reason to be confident in KD coming into this football game, and he has looked great, especially now on these last two drives. Finds Roberts wide open on the backside, does a great job stepping up in the pocket away from pressure, sets his feet, doesn't throw off a back foot, and delivers a strike about 15 yards downfield and in stride for Roberts, who gets wide open. Tiger defender slips there about 5 yards away from Roberts, which allows him to get into the end zone untouched. But now KD's got some confidence going and a lot of success here on these previous two drives for St. Jack.
And Marshall, what were the Hilltoppers trying to set up over there?
So the Hilltoppers come out and they basically put the entire offensive line to the about on the hash mark on the left side of the field for Middlebury, from the 2 yard line. And all that does is when you bring that out, you're basically making the defense think that you don't know what's coming. Mostly when the Tigers come out, they just set up, they kick the ball. A lot of football teams will come out and they'll spread the offensive lineman all the way to the right, similar to what the Colts did against.
I was going to say, didn't they watch that
very
game?
Similar to that. But all that is essentially doing is, what type of look are you going to get? Because a lot of teams do have looks where they will snap it immediately to the holder or to the kicker, and he will toss it out to a man waiting behind that offensive line to try to get 2 points. And St. J's going to do it again. The entirety of this offense goes to the left outside of the long snapper, the holder, and the kicker. And with one man who's positioned to potentially catch a screen pass. And all that, again, all that's doing is trying to get the Tiger defense over. And St. J right now is going to shift all the way back in and get set for an actual PAT. And really, it's just a matter of movement and seeing what type of matchups you get.
And it is down, and the kick is up. And I think that was just too many machinations because the kick was wide. St. J probably should have just gone for the ease, but they didn't. It is Middlebury 7, St. J 6. You're listening to High School Playoff Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Right. And on an explosive passing play from the freshman Jacob Cady to his do-it-all running back Ethan Roberts, the Hilltoppers were able to get on the scoreboard and get a touchdown. They did miss the point after, so now they trail 6-7, kicking off to the Middlebury Tigers. And there goes the kickoff. It's kind of a squib bouncing along. It's going to be picked up by Hotchell at about the 20. He's got some room to run on the left side. Hole opens on the left side for him. The seam just parts. He's running down the sideline, eventually driven out. Tigers return team right now getting a lot of extra yards when you don't necessarily think they're going to be there. They're going to take over on the Hilltopper side of the field at about the 46.
That's going to be the first real explosive play we've seen from Jack Hotchell in the return game since the Brattleboro game when he came up with the hip flexor injury. But he does have that capability on the return game to be big play threat, and a great job. Now you get 6 points on, you still hold that 1 point lead, but no momentum. That kind of play, that kick return taking it to the St. J 48, gives you that type of momentum to get going here on this drive.
Tigers on the 48 of the Hilltoppers. Gordon under center, he's got one wide receiver to the left, one to the right, and he's keeping himself running to the right, finding a hole on the outside of his tackle, gets tripped up by his shoestrings, but not before he picks up a good 7 or 8 yard gain.
And the Tigers are having all sorts of success here, coming to the right side of the St. J offense, and they're really targeting Aaron Morrison on the left defensive end for St. J, but the right side of the defense, looking at it from Middlebury's point of view, expect more of these runs to the right side.
Second and four for the Tigers from the 42 of the Hilltoppers. And Gordon has it, keeps it himself, flips it up high to Nemo, who's got a lot of space to work on the right side, gets driven out of bounds after a very nice pickup, gets down to about the 32. That's about a 10-yard gain.
And again, they're going to that right side of the defense, which they've had a lot of success in the first quarter, and now they're carrying over to the second. I thought on the last drive, they kind of abandoned that right side of the field. If I'm Dennis Smith and this coach, if I'm going to continue to target, you're getting about 7 to 8 yards every time they run the triple option to this side, and that's 7 to 8 yards with either Nemo or Oakley Gordon. A lot of success and a lot of running room to this side of the football field.
Tigers with two wide receivers and three running backs. Gordon under center. And he's calling it out. He's got Nemo in motion from the left to the right. But Gordon looks downfield. He pump fakes, but then rechecks and just throws it out of bounds there. Intending to live for another day. Looking to do something on second down.
And I do like the Tigers going to a passing attack here. You don't want to be so predictable that you just keep running the football. But what they're doing is they're trying to see what type of passing game they're going to get on St. James. To this point, St. James done a great job of not buying into play fakes. They haven't been lulled to sleep just yet. Middlebury's come out, and they've had some good rushing attacks. But the St. James secondary, give them credit, a three-man secondary has done a good job of sitting back, making sure that if it is a pass, that they are still marking up their man. The thing that does, though, is opens up long runs underneath.
Second down at about 10 from the 33 of the Hilltoppers. Nemo gets the ball running on the right side, cuts back towards the inside, and manages to pick up about 7 yards on that one.
And great patience from Jerry Nemo as the hole isn't there immediately. A good job from the Hilltoppers to kind of shut down the counter to the right side as Beauchamp and Wyatt LeBurge are pulling. A good job from the left side of the defensive front for St. Jay to slow that down. But Nemo does a good job waiting for that hole to get there, cuts back and gets some running yards. Like I said on the last play, the long runs underneath, meaning the secondary is so focused on the wide receivers going out that they aren't coming up quickly to make a stop at the running game. So there's not as many bodies up and close to the line of scrimmage, allowing the Tigers to get some long runs.
Tigers with four wide receivers, and Cortland Fisher in the backfield is the lone fullback, but there's movement on the line. The left guard jumped, and that's going to be a flag on the Tigers.
And the St. J, basically every play is shifting their nose tackle their two defensive tackles to either side. That's Xavier Giddings and Tom Emery. They're both shifting as Oakley Gordon gets under center, and that time he goes to try to get a sneak as he taps the right side of his center's back end. And basically all he's doing is saying, I'm going to this side of the ball, you're going to snap it to me on a silent count, and I'm going to jump up inside. Unfortunately, Nick Beauchamp is going to jump off sides before Pat Messenger gives the ball to Oakley Gordon under center.
Nick Beauchamp, the Dory Cup winner last year for Middlebury, certainly a knowledgeable dude, and he looked immediately up at the sky like, man, did I really just do that? Gordon takes it. He's running out to his left and looking downfield. He's got a man sprinting towards the end zone. Is he going to be able to reel it in? He is not, right off Jerry Nemo's fingers as he entered the end zone. So now for the Tigers, it's going to be fourth and about eight for them.
There was a lot of greats leading up to the end of that play, but just not a great ending to it. A great route from Jerry Nemo. Does a great job running the out and wheel up. A great ball from Oakley Gordon and great patience. He knows what Jerry Nemo is going to do. He waits for him to get the out, and then he waits for him to streak up the sideline, and that ball bounces right off the fingertips of Jerry Nemo, and he knows he should have caught that football. Great sequence of events leading up to the end of the play. Tigers just can't finish it.
And how about the Tigers? Still, oh, nope, they are getting back in their double wing position. Originally looked like they were going back to four wide receivers. Two wide receivers, Nemo coming in motion from the left to the right. Gordon following him as he rolls out, looking downfield, and this one just sails on Oakley. And that's going to be St. Johnsbury ball again as the Tigers turn it over on downs.
Tigers are struggling to get the passing game going right now, and to me, you know, I don't mind them going to the air that much here, especially two times in the last three plays, trying to strike big, and especially on 4th and 9, you kind of have to go to the air. But I want to see a little more triple option to the right side. They haven't been slowed down to that side at all, and that goes all the way back to the opening drive when Oakley Gordon was able to pitch it out to Ali Abdul-Sayer for about a 15-yard gain. The Hilltoppers haven't proven on the left side of their defense they can slow down this Tiger offense. Expect more of that on the next drive.
Jacob Cady now alone in the backfield from the shotgun position. Big gap and opens up the middle. A good decision there by Cady, probably to pull it down. Gain 4 free yards if you can. He gets to the 36 of the Tigers.
And as this game goes on, you can see the confidence building in Cady, and I think that's one dangerous thing the Tigers could run into. You come in with a freshman quarterback on the other side of the football. You want to put as many hits on him as possible, and Cady's done a great job avoiding hits, and then the touchdown pass has his confidence soaring.
Five wide receivers now for Cady, and he throws it out towards the right sideline, and he pits his man man. Nice hole up the middle for the wide receiver, and he gets up to about the 45. That reception was made by Shane Alercio, and right now throwing those lateral passes to the sideline and letting the horses run seems to be working for the Hilltoppers.
And what's that doing is a great credit to the coaching staff. Is Katie's getting a lot of confidence. He knows he can complete those passes behind the line of scrimmage and allow the receiver to get upfield. And the more he does that, the more he's going to believe in himself on a pass downfield. So the St. Jay coaching staff is getting Katie going with these underneath passes.
And Katie drops back again. He's looking. He's got a wide open receiver again on this near side. The man's making some hay. Ooh, wow. He comes in hard on that hit. Was Oakley Gordon coming up pretty high on Shane Alercio and driving him out of bounds after a gain of only about three.
That's a great stick from Oakley Gordon. He's sitting back in the catbird seat, really, from the safety position. They run that wheel route that we've seen now five times from St. Jay. Underneath, does a great job coming up. Ali Abdul-Sader had the man, Alercio, kind of tied up. Oakley Gordon comes and finishes it. Now second and eight here for the Hilltoppers.
Tigers are pursuing very quickly. It seems like there's more space for the Hilltoppers than it really ends up being on some of these plays. Katie drops back again, looking downfield. He's got a man open, tries to cut to the inside of a blocker, gets close to the sticks. I don't think they may actually give it to him. It'll be interesting to see where their spot was. That was caught by number six, Bastian Pilate.
And they're just to the right of the 45, just shy, and that's going to bring up about a third and maybe a foot. But again, good route. They run a little curl route to the outside, and a great throw from Katie gets his receiver as soon as he comes out of the break, so no defender can jump the route.
Katie has it. He's got a man wide open on the right side, and the man thinks too early. It just goes right off his fingers. That was off Alercio's hands, and he put it on the ground. It's going to end up being fourth and one for the Hilltoppers, but let's give it to Katie. This is the most efficient night by far for a quarterback we've seen play against the Middlebury Tigers. Keep it in mind, folks at home. This is a freshman starting his first high school game.
And the more they run these little quick passes, the more dangerous it becomes that the safeties for the Tigers are going to come up and try to undercut that route. That a nice pump and go for the outside man to run a seam route could be wide open as this game goes on.
And there are two wide receivers, lots of linemen, and then Roberts in the middle. Roberts chooses the wrong hole as he tries to plow forward. The Tigers stand strong. It is going to be Tiger football as the Hilltoppers turn it over on downs.
And they try to go right through Wyatt LaBerge, Nick Beauchamp, and Bruce Wright, and that is not a trio that you have seen a lot of rushes go through throughout this season. I'm not terribly upset with this play call. It's fourth and one. You'd want to try to do something. Would have been a little happier had it been a read option. So it wasn't an automatic give to Roberts, but that's your workhorse back, your junior back that you want to try to feed as much as you can. Good drive, though. Regardless, Katie has a lot of confidence going in the backfield now for St. Jay.
I think if you had taken one hold to the left, you would have been better off. And this time it's coming to Ali Abdul-Sader. Takes the handoff from Oakley Gordon. He sprints to the right. He gets up across the 40. That's a big 16-yard gain for the senior.
And the counter continues to work. And the right side of this Tiger offense continues to get a lot of gains. And the left side, I know that's confusing. Right side of the offense, left side of the defense. But the Tigers are getting a lot of success to this side of the field now. To the right side of their offense. No one's been able to slow them down on St. Jay, continually getting 7 to 8 yards every time they touch the ball coming this way.
Tigers leading by a score of 7-6. They are now on the St. Jay 38 with a 1st and 10. Gordon under center, looking back, hands it to Ali again, who goes for about the same hole, finds the same gap, keeps churning upfield. He's shedding tacklers as he gets downfield, ends up at about the 17. Another huge gain of over 20 yards.
Bruce Wright and Chris Greer on the right side of this offensive line are having a lot of success getting to the next level. Bruce Wright sealing the guard, the defensive tackle in. Chris Greer's doing a great job getting to the next level and seeing the linebacker in. And then that's when they run the counter back to it. So Nick Beauchamp's going to come across this field, come across behind the offensive line. He's going to kick out the defensive end for St. Jay. That's going to allow Wyatt LaBerge to get now up inside of that. And he's going to seal out the cornerback. And that's getting a wide open hole for Ali Abdul-Sader to just run right through. In the last two plays, no one's touching Ali until he's about 6 yards downfield at full speed and coming from behind him too. So they're just trying to wrap him up and pull him out from behind. A lot of speed in Abdul-Sader to be able to break those tackles.
And it's interesting to see as the year's gone on just where, you know, which it always is a different running back every night that kind of shows up and really pops here. And right now, just on these last few plays, Ali's just running hard. I mean, if you meet Ali Abdul-Sader and see him in person, this is not a thick man. You know, he's tall, he's pretty slender, kind of like Trey Coffin. These running backs, if you saw them in a hallway, you wouldn't actually necessarily think, boy, that's a running back. But they're running pretty strong tonight.
And that's what we talked about in the pregame, that this is a four running back monster in the backfield, especially when Jaren Nemo comes in to spell either Coffin Hoffman or Abdul-Sidder, you don't know who's getting the football at any play. And when whoever gets, like we said, everyone's averaging about 6 yards per carry outside of Jerry Nemo, who's got 9 yards per carry. So a very dangerous four-man backfield, and then you add in Oakley Gordon to that mix, and especially tonight to that mix, it's dangerous. You don't know where the football's going, and wherever it's going, it's 6 yards downfield for the Tigers.
Well, they're at the 17 of the Hilltoppers with three running backs, no wide receivers. Gordon under center. Gordon drops back, hands it to Trey Coffin, going from right to the left, sprints out along the left, finds a hole back to the middle, plowing forward again. Hard physical run by Trey Coffin. He's pretty close to the first down. It's right about a 10-yard gain.
And continuing to have a lot of success on the offensive line, this time to the left side, behind Nick Beauchamp and Wyatt LaBerge, something that we haven't seen a lot of in the first quarter, but now late in the second quarter, 4:47 left, the Tigers driving, going to the left side of that offensive line, having success, and when they can get that going, it's going to make it a lot harder for the St. J. defense to kind of pick a side and say, okay, we're going to stop you on this side like we've been doing, and just trying to hope that you bring it there. As they're trying to kind of shift behind, or shift over to the side behind Bruce Wright and Chris Greer, who have a lot of success, getting a lot of push on the defensive front. Now St. J. has to realize that the Tigers can go to either side of this defense.
And the Tigers have just picked up the first down. They were just measured it. So the Tigers are going to be first and goal from about the 7. The Tigers with 4:47 left to go in this second quarter, leading by a score of 7-6 here in this first playoff game of this year. And they are knocking on the door, looking to go ahead even more. And Gordon coming up to the line. He's got Fisher in the backfield along with Kaufman and Ali Abdul-Sader. No wide receivers for the Tigers. Comes under center. A little bit of motion. Ali going from left to the right. But this time it's going to be Oakley keeping it himself, turning the corner, finding the hole, and in for a touchdown. Oakley Gordon scoring his second touchdown of the night. A 7-yard scamper for the quarterback.
And that's a great run there from Oakley Gordon again, behind Chris Greer and Bruce Wright to the right side of the offensive line. And Oakley Gordon gets him in position. Does the read option. Now he's going to get next level. And it becomes a 2-on-1 matchup with Antonio Carlisle, the St. J's cornerback. And all he does is, again, give that pump fake out to Ali Abdul-Sader, and in the first half he gave the pump fake and he actually tossed it out to Ali Abdul-Sader, gets 15 yards. That's in the back of Carlisle's mind. He has no idea where the ball's going. Oakley Gordon's doing a great job getting ball fakes and getting man open and getting himself open downfield.
And Gordon has his chance to add another point after as well, and it's down. It's held by Andrew Gleason, and it is good. So the Tigers now leading by a score of 14-6 with 4:28 left to go in the first half. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Oakley Gordon hogging it all to himself tonight so far here. He's put 14 points on the board, running two in, one from 2 yards out, one from 7 yards out, and then 2 point after attempts that have both been good. And now he's even going to kick it off to Antonio Carlisle, who's waiting down at about the 10. But it's going to go to an up man who grabs it from around the 20, finds a hole in the middle, and keeps plowing forward to about the 36. That's where St. J's going to take over, trying to see if they can get down the field and tie this thing up.
A scoring update in Rutland. Rutland extends on a 6-yard connection from Kanash to O'Gorman. It's 19-0 with 7 minutes left to play in the second quarter. Rutland and Mount Anthony to the 1-8 match of the top seed in Division I Vermont High School football, leading 19-0. And now, here in this 2-7 matchup, what type of response do we get from Katie? A lot of success on the last drive, a lot of efficiency, just kind of fizzled out at the end. How do you respond?
Katie with four wide receivers. He's back in the shotgun. He's looking downfield, dancing around. He decides to pull it down, and that probably was not a decision that worked out well for him. He gets brought down by Nick Beauchamp.
Now, although he does get sacked for a two-yard loss, there's a lot of patience in the backfield and a great pocket presence from Katie. He sees, he goes through his progressions. What we've seen a lot of this season is a lot of quarterbacks, they through their two progressions, then they just scramble. He's doing a great job of knowing that his first idea is to pass the football. He's taking his time, making sure everything's there, and then at the last second, he's forced to pull it down when he knows the pocket's collapsing and he does take a two-yard loss.
And he has his four wide receivers again, and here he is looking downfield. He stays in there, throws it to his man. Nice catch by a big tight end over on that far side, or a tight end build anyway. That was caught by Patrick Greenan right about at the sticks. Greenan had to reach up and snag it out of the air over a defender. Nice work there by Greenan.
And a good ball from Katie. He throws that one up to only where his receiver can get to the football, and does a great job finding the pocket of the defense between the cornerback and the safety. Hits him with a big size man. Great play from Katie, and this confidence you can see continues to build.
And they are on their own 47 with a first and 10. Katie with five wide receivers. Katie looking to throw again, and he's got a man open again, and they're going to have a first down or pretty close to it. Again, it's going to be a little short, only about 2 yards short. Bastian Pilate brings it in for eight, right on the side.
And I love what we're seeing from Katie tonight. I know we're a Tiger broadcast, but you got to appreciate a good quarterback play when we see it. Doing a great job. Not only those short routes that we saw earlier, those were confidence builders. Now we're seeing a lot of passes downfield, to 8 to 10 yards downfield even, where he's hitting his man in stride and getting him open. Great play right now from Katie.
And he manages to take the high snap. It's still a cover. He's got a man open, and once again, it was a receiver who let Katie down. He got it right in the hands of Aaron Morrissey, past the first yard marker, and it went, it was a zip it. It was right in his head, but you really should be catching those, and it went through his hands.
And certainly not the greatest ball, a little bit behind Morrison, but like you said, a catchable football hits his receiver's hands, but still these balls are being put right on target here on third and two for the St. J. Hilltoppers.
And it went high, but he manages to keep it, throws towards the near sideline, man brings it in, he's got one person to beat to get the first down, and he can't. It is brought down by Brady LaRocque, manages to get up to Shane Alercio, and they are about 2 yards short.
And that's a great job from LaRocque. He's able to break through the defense from Antonio Carlisle there, as well as Patrick Greenan, and does a great job of hitting Alercio in the backfield and preventing him from being able to catch a ball and move upfield. And that's a tough play to make from Brady LaRocque, who's coming from a usual, he's the defensive end, so he's typically blitzing, has to drop back into coverage, does a great job splitting the gap, splitting the blockers, making a play in the backfield.
Third and one here for Katie. He's got two wide receivers to the right. He decides to take it over to the left. If he can turn this corner, he's got it. He does not. Sawyer Ryan coming up and tripping him as he tries to take that corner. That's a loss of about three. It's going to be third and four. Actually, that was fourth down. Middlebury takes over at the 46.
Second consecutive drive that the fourth quarter play call is a little questionable. This time they're going to run a QB screen, or not QB screen, a QB sneak to the left side of the field. It's just trying to basically get him swept around the edge around the defensive end. But a great job, first off, for Brady LaRocque of forcing him outside from the defensive end position. Sawyer Ryan comes in from the linebacker position, makes a stick in the backfield. Great defensive stand for the second straight possession for this Tiger D.
And the Tigers have one wide receiver to the left, and Parker Gross in at fullback. And Gordon turns and hands it to Nebo, coming from the left to the right. Nebo being patient, working his way back, finding a hole as he cuts back. And a gain of eight there, when at first it didn't look like he'd have a lot of room.
Yeah, at the start of that play, it looked like it was probably going to be about a two-yard gain. As a great job, though, from Nemo. He waits. He allows Sawyer Ryan and Bruce Wright to set their blocks and cut it upfield and get seven, where, like I said, should have been about a two-yard gain. But Nemo has the patience and then a quick twitch ability to just burst when he's from his standing still position. Gets a good game for the Tigers. And back to that 7 to 8 yards every time they come behind Bruce Wright and Chris Greer on that offensive line.
And now they're looking back to get their signal. They still have wide receiver over to the left. Three running backs in the backfield. Gordon under center. And there's the shift. And there's the handoff up the middle to the fullback plowing forward. Looks like he's going to be right about at the sticks. I wouldn't be surprised if they call for a measurement. Parker Gross on the carry. Middlebury takes a timeout.
1:34 here left in the first half. And the reason that play doesn't have much success was a little bad mesh there between Oakley Gordon and Corlin Fisher in the backfield. As Oakley Gordon turns around, Corlin Fisher wasn't where he thought he was going to be. So a little miscommunication on that one. So it doesn't allow Oakley Gordon to make his first read and make that read quickly like he's been doing throughout this football game. But now 3rd-and-1 still for this offense. It's had a lot of success almost every time they move the ball downfield. So really a confident offense right now. 3rd-and-1 from about the 45-yard line headed in. This is a capability. If they can get a score here, get the ball to start the second half, get into a dangerous position for St. J, who on the last two drives has looked really good on offense. They just fizzled out at the Tiger 40-yard yard line, basically each possession, 45 yard line. So St. Jay's doing enough to stay in this game. Middlebury's doing enough to lead it, though.
And Middlebury talking it over. This is unusual for them. They are not a team that tends to huddle. They did away with that, I would say about 5 years ago, maybe 4 or 5, might have been somewhere in your...
3 years, the year after. So
the year after, 3 years. Okay, so 3 years they went to this no-huddle system. But right now, they definitely huddled up. They've got a minute 34 left to go, a decent amount of field to go here, 44 yards. Have to wonder what they were talking about. They've got one wide receiver left, three, nothing looks different. And Oakley Gordon plows forward for a first down. So probably they were talking about what they're going to do after they gain this first down.
And so they basically call a timeout, huddle up, say, what do you want to run here before Oakley Gordon does a great job. Good read on the sneak as the St. Jay Hilltoppers have given him that middle every time and on a short yardage position does a good job taking advantage of it and taking the sneak up the middle.
Same setup, three running back, one wide receiver out left. Gordon under center. He's got Kaufman coming in motion from the right to the left. And this time he looks downfield. Gordon pops back, turns, and really no chance there for it to connect. Looked like defender might have whacked Mesner in the back a little bit, but I think the ball was far enough away where they're not going to give that to them.
Ball a little underthrown for Mesner from Oakley Gordon, but regardless, I like the play call. You're going to run a little play action up the middle to the fullback, and all Chase Mesner's going to do is he's going to run a zigzag route. So he's going to go about 8 yards downfield, make a hard step like he's going to run a post, does that for about 2 yards, and he's going to pump back out to the outside. Oakley Gordon, the ball just started to throw, Mesner not able to get to it.
Second and 10 with the ball on.
Just to compare right now, talk about different teams. Jacob Cady, 11 for 14. Oakley Gordon, 0 for 4. It's not a sign of a good or bad quarterback. It's a sign the Tigers played a completely different type of football. And right now it's Kaufman sprinting as he gets it from the right to his left. Heads into a hole on the left side. Absolute explosion out of Trey Kaufman. Nice 7 yard gain there.
And pre-snap adjustments there from St. Jay hurt them as their entire defensive line is going to shift to the left of the St. Jay defense. And that's going to open up that counter right back to the other side. Right back behind them. They're not going to have a defensive end. So all that Nick Beauchamp and Wyatt LeBurge have to do is just block down. That allows Bruce Wright and Chris Greer to basically just get free rein on who they want. Good explosive run from Trey Kaufman, and he's going to get about 7 yards on that play. And that was because, like I said, St. Jay shifts over and opens up that edge for the perimeter for the Tigers to take advantage of.
You know, you have to feel like some of this, you know, and often in sports you kind of have people remind you, you know, don't get cute. And Tigers are not a team that get particularly cute. I mean, they run some things here and there. We've seen a couple reverses the last few weeks, but they're not going to do too much. St. Jay, all this motion, all the shifting, everything else, it has actually seemed, to be totally honest, to be kind of counterproductive so far tonight.
What they're trying to do, they're trying to distract and confuse this Tiger offense, but the thing is that this is not an offense that comes to the line with two or three plays, makes a pre-snap read, and calls a play. They come to the line with one play. Regardless of what happens, they're going to run it because this is an assignment-based football team. So the offensive line knows from the onset who they're blocking and who they're not touching at all, especially on like on an option. You know you're not touching the first guy outside the tackle on the line of scrimmage. No matter what movement you make, whoever that guy is remains the same, and they are able to do that. And this, like you said, a little too cute right now from St. Jay.
Tigers, one wide receiver, three running backs, confident motion from the right to the left. Gordon dropping back, moving out to his right, looking downfield, has a nice space to turn upfield, kind of slows, looks to create some contact as he goes, and he's picking up a nice first down there, a gain of about 7 yards on that keeper.
Only thing that could have been better there from Oakley Gordon would have been to just jump out of bounds rather than going down to the 27-yard line inbounds. It's going to start the clock once the ball is set, but with 55 seconds and a timeout, still plenty of time to get within range here from the 27.
And Gordon under center. Now he has four wide receivers. And he looks, oh, he puts it on the ground. It's kind of a fumbled exchange there between Parker Gross and Oakley Gordon. And they put it on the ground. It's going to be a loss just of a couple, but it is going to be a loss of a down.
And that's going to be tough because the Tigers are going to have to burn their final timeout with 47 and a half seconds left. And on top of that, Oakley Gordon did have a corner there. Continuing to be to the right side of this offense, behind Chris Greer, Bruce Wright, the right side of this offensive line. A lot of success with that triple option as St. Jay is basically running off the cornerback as Sawyer Ryan and Brady the Rock playing tight end and wide receiver are able to just break away from the line of scrimmage. Oakley Gordon had plenty of room to run there had he been able to hold on to that football. Unfortunately, though, puts on the ground. Tigers are forced to use their final timeout.
Some exchange issues certainly tonight. The Tigers have had two fumbles as a result of Miss kind of throwing it out to pitching it out pretty far, really, to Tiger running backs. And then on that one, on the exchange, so a different method of giving it to the running back, but three times the Tigers have put it on the ground just from trying to get it to their running back.
And that's the the only reason that stopped this Tiger offense on any drive has not been St. J. slowing them down. It's been their own mistakes, and if Tigers can cut that out, this could be a lopsided score in the second half, only up by 8 right now.
Second and about 12 for the Tigers. They've got four wide receivers. They're sitting at about the 30 of the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. Gordon rolls out to his left. He's looking downfield, being pursued by a defender, but he gets it complete to Jerry Nemo, plowing through people, getting down to the 1 yard line. Whether they say he's been taken out of bounds or not, we're sure. I think they have said he was out of bounds. He's going to be at about the 1 here for the Tigers. And a big throw and catch.
Excuse me, a great route from Jerry Nemo. He runs about an 18-yard out route, and the St. J. Hilltoppers basically assume that he's running a seam because he goes so far before taking the break, and then he's wide open behind the second, in front of the safety, but behind the linebackers, and a great pass from Oakley Gordon to find Nemo.
And it's first and goal from about the 3 for the Tigers. And Gordon hands it off. Looks like it's Parker Gross up the middle for a touchdown for the Tigers. Their third touchdown of the night. And nice work there by Gross.
A great drive, and probably at the worst possible time for St. J, as the Tigers are going to punch it in with 32.7 seconds left here in the first half. Knowing they're going to get the ball back to start the second half, they're going to be up by, depending on where this, if this kick goes through, 14 or 15 points. That's a dangerous, almost a knife to the gut type of score for the Tigers here late in the first half, and a great play set up on that long connection between Nemo and Gordon.
And Andrew Gleason down getting ready for the snap, and Oakley Gordon waiting for it. Here comes that snap. It's down. Gordon gets it. It's good. Middlebury Tigers leading by a score of 21-6 here near the end of the second quarter. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Tiger football doing what it's supposed to do so far this game, holding St. J. to 6 points as we near halftime, 21 points on the board for the Middlebury Tigers. Oakley Gordon's back ready to kick it off for St. J., who have a few ticks on the clock to see if they can do something before halftime. And it's going to be a bouncing kick that's going to get picked up around the 20. And, man, returning it up the middle of the field. Got some space and got some room. And the ball is out. Gordon came up and put a lick on the returner. But they came out right into another man's hands. St. Johnsbury's going to have it at about the 40. And that was a missed opportunity. Well, not so much a missed opportunity for the Tigers because they're doing fine, but boy, that could have been real bad for the Hilltoppers.
It could have been bad for St. J. The thing is, Middlebury doesn't have any timeouts left, so had they recovered that fumble, probably would have just been sitting on it anyway. But regardless, now you come out with St. J. a little bit of question marks. Your offense has been good enough to get inside Tiger territory, but not good enough to sustain a longer drive. How do you respond here, knowing that you got 18 seconds left, one timeout, down by 15?
Katie has two wide receivers left, one running back. Katie drops back. He's looking downfield. He's getting pursued by the Tigers. Brady LaRock with a sack. I think that's the second of the night.
And that'll probably be just about it. No point now after taking about a 10-yard sack to call a timeout and try to chuck one up. So St. J's going to have to go to the half down 21-6. And in a first half where if I'm St. J, I got to feel like we left a lot on the football field. You're going to stop early on. You miss an extra point, which had a chance to tie it at 7. And then back-to-back drives look promising. Get inside Tiger territory to the 40 and 45-yard line, but then you just can't capitalize on third down and short, and then again on fourth down and short. I feel like if you're St. J, you feel like, hey, we should be at least tied up in this football game, but instead you're watching Middlebury walking away with a 15-0 lead and getting the ball at the second half.
And so far it's following the chalk here with the number 2 Tigers leading the number 7 St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers by a score of 21-6 here at halftime on 92.1 WVTK. We'll be back with the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show, a recap of the first half and a sense of what's going on around the state. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Change is good, especially if you're not happy with the current situation. Bordon Insurance Agency wants to let you know that they'll be there for you if and when you want to make that change. With local agents that live right here in your community, For home, auto, office, farm, boat, you name it, they can provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of all your insurances. Bordon Insurance, Merchants Road, downtown Middlebury, and at BordonInsurance.com. Bordon Insurance, local people insuring local people.
Hi, I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. We would like to congratulate the Middlebury JV and varsity football team on another undefeated regular season. Also, a big thank you to the coaches. Now it's time to put on your winter tires, do a custom winter service, and an oil undercoat your car. We are now using a fluid film rust inhibitor undercoating. Don't wait for snow. Call us at 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
The 2015-2016 hockey season is upon us, and 4th and Goal has everything you need. Hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. Hockey skates and figure skates, too. They are stocked and ready to fit the Addison County skaters. Men and women, boys and girls from head to toe. 4th and Goal, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. 4th and Goal Sports.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, welcome to the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show here on 92.1 WVTK. It's the first week of the playoffs. The number two overall Middlebury Tigers, 8-0 so far this year, coming in with a school record 30-game winning streak, taking on the 4-4 St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers, a game that was billed as probably being a blowout in many people's eyes, especially as the fact that the Hilltoppers were starting a freshman quarterback who had never started a game before. But Marshall, certainly didn't start out feeling that way, even if it stretched out a little bit. Here's Marshall with a little sense here of what's happened so far this game.
Tigers kicked out the scoring in the first quarter, 2:26 left to go on a one-yard touchdown punch-in from Oakley Gorner that made it 7-0. But St. J. responded early on in the second quarter, 9:44 left. A 43-yard from Jacob Cady to Evan Roberts. The extra point wouldn't be any good, though, however, as the St. J. Hilltop was forced to burn a timeout, and then, you know, doing their little trickeration to try to get a two-point conversion as well. They have to go for one. They missed the field goal, so it's 7-6. Oakley Gorner then comes in the second quarter, 4:28 left for a 14-6 lead. And then late in the first quarter, 3-yard touchdown run from Parker Gross, set up by a 27-yard pass from Gordon to Nemo, put the ball at the 3-yard line for Gross, made it 21-6 at the half, and that's where we stand right now.
And where we stand also is the story so far kind of interest to me. You know, what's Jacob Cady going to do? And, of course, not so interesting because that was the topic of today all around Middlebury High School was what's going to happen with this freshman quarterback. But right now we have his numbers 10 for 14 for 96 yards, including that long throw down the way for the touchdown. And certainly a lot of efficiency on Cady's part. And really, I would say, in a lot of ways, the most effective passing offense we've seen anyone throw against the Tigers this year. I guess we could say Colchester had its chances to be even more effective. This is by far the most efficient.
Well, what it's been has been good passes underneath to get Cady some confidence. That we saw a lot in the second quarter with those quick passes behind the line of scrimmage that just basically led the receivers to try to make a play with their own feet. And what that did was it created confidence in Cady that we didn't see in the first quarter, and that led to those passes downfield where he was hitting men on out routes about 8 yards downfield in stride, finding guys about 12 yards in the pocket between the safety and the cornerback for 12 to 15-yard gains, and then curls at 8 to 10 yards as well. So the good job here from the St. J. coaching staff has been allowing Cady to get some confidence with those short underneath passes, and then has led into longer passes where he knows he can get the ball there because he's had that success underneath.
So let's say this ends up, for the sake of argument, being the final game of the year for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. We're going to get to the Tigers in a second for everyone at home, but this is an interesting story, I think, to talk about, Katie. You now have a situation where you have Caligiuri, certainly a very effective quarterback, and someone who was able to do things through the ground and in the air. Someone who, you know, was not here tonight for any whatever reasons, and we're not privy to those reasons, but he's not here. Katie is, and Katie's here as a freshman, and Katie's looking pretty darn good against the team whose mid-tight, you know, defense has been kind of, you know, the dominant one the last few years. Interesting to see next year, you know, what choices does St. Johnsbury make along the way?
Well,
as an angel comes through with some gifts.
And the interesting part of it is going to be the fact that, you know, we haven't seen Uri, obviously, from our point of view. But if you look at the stats of it, 700 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. So he's certainly a capable runner. And that's something we haven't seen a lot from Katie tonight. Certainly a good arm, but he doesn't really bring that dual threat that I think Uri brings to the table for St. Jan. I think that could be one of those QB dilemmas. That could be the solving point for this offense, where right now they don't have much of a running game. Roberts hasn't proven that he can get up inside and create a running attack for St. Jan. That's allowing the Tigers to sit back and preventing those deep passes. Yeah, sure, St. Jan's able to get those 8 to 10-yard completions, but eventually those are getting cut down, and that's why we saw two drives fizzle out late at the 40-yard line for Middlebury, because St. Jan is not able to extend the drives because they're shutting down those 8 to 10-yard passing windows, forcing the St. Jan to go to those 3 to 4-yard passing windows, and eventually they're able to stop them when they get to 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. St. Jan hasn't proven they can run the football, and that's where they try to run up inside, and they don't have any success. So I think that's what Uri brings to the table, that they're really missing with Katie. Katie is not as dual threat, and you can see with his size and his speed out of the backfield, Uri brings a little bit more of that. And so, you know, to go to a QB dilemma next season, and then back to what's happening tonight, they just don't have a running game with Katie right now in the backfield. They have a passing attack, but they can't run the ball.
And they exacerbate that to some degree when they go to so many sets where they don't have a running back.
Yes.
The Tigers just like, okay, let's keep everything in front of us, try to stop them off the catch.
Well, they've even tried to do that. They spread it out, and then they'll go to draws with Katie, but as he drops back, he's not able to really show that explosiveness that Uri has. He's small in stature. He's only 14 years old, so you're not expecting the kid to come in, be 6'2", 210 pounds, pure muscle, obviously. But when he does drop back and he tries to get downfield, he's so small that the Tigers can just bring him down with one man. An arm tackle actually does bring him down. We saw that multiple times. Then when the pocket breaks down, he doesn't have the speed right now to jump outside of it. And that's something that Uri brought to the table. Even if it wasn't designed runs, he could get yards on his own on the ground if a passing play broke down, and they just don't have that option right now with Katie in the backfield.
And as a result, probably, with that and a few other things, the Tigers are leading by a score of 21-6. Thank you for joining us on the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show. Tiger football is brought to you by Mike's Fuels in Bridport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County. And Mike's Fuels is always rooting for the Tigers. Mike's Fuels is your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane, off-road and on-road, gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Mike's Fuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835 or 247-9500. Mike's Fuels, Route 22A in Bridport. Marshall, one question here before we go to a quick break for the Tigers. What are you looking for in the second half?
Well, basically more of the same. You're doing a great job of allowing the bend-don't-break defense to be effective. St. Jay has been able to move the ball relatively well, but like we said, there's no running game, so you're able to just basically sit back and cover. You're saying you want to throw the ball all over us, fine, but eventually you're not going to get those yards that we're going to prevent you from getting. So if I'm going to the defense for Middlebury, I'm just saying keep doing what we're doing. They get the 43-yard touchdown pass, but they haven't proven they can string together a long drive right now. So keep doing what you do. Sit back. Let that everything in front of you happen. Make the tackle, and eventually they're going to make a mistake. You're going to get a sack, and that's going to create these down and distances that's not favorable to the St. Jay offense. You're going to take advantage of those. You're going to get the stops. You're going to get the football back. Chance to take a lead. Extend the lead, rather.
Extend the lead. So we'll be back for a few more words here as the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show moves along. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
StoreYourTires.com, Vermont's first valet tire storage solution. We'll pick up, store, and deliver your tires during seasonal changeovers. Visit StoreYourTires.com, place an order, and never touch your dirty, heavy tires again. StoreYourTires.com.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Backstage Pub and Restaurant is your place to go for all the NFL games. With specialty drink specials every game night, 75-cent wings, and a special half-pound Black Angus burger. Make Backstage Pub and Restaurant your NFL headquarters.
Soon you will have many little ghouls and goblins knocking at your door in search of yummy sweet treats. Keep those little ghouls and goblins happy with some delicious candy from Middlebury Sweets. Middlebury Sweets is Vermont's largest candy store with a huge selection of bulk-wrapped candies that are sure to please the tummies of everyone who knocks at your door this Halloween. Put something unexpected in their trick-or-treat bags this year. We have the penny candies of yesteryear, the favorites you loved as a kid, and the popular candies of today. When you buy bulk, you buy what you want, not what is already prepackaged at the store. Save 50% off all bulk-wrapped candy, and now until October 30th. Just simply mention 50 Zombies to receive the discount. Middlebury Sweets, 12 Vossie Road, East Middlebury. Visit us at MiddleburySweets.com.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Welcome back to Mike Spiel's Halftime Show. Just chatting with our good friend Andy Kirkcaldy from the Addison Independent. Always fun to get his perspective, and he'll join us next week on the Mike Spiel's Halftime Show.
As, barring a comeback here.
Barring a comeback. He'll join us. He'll join me either way in the middle of Friday at this time. So, but certainly that'll be, you know, if that comes to pass, that'll be fun, and there'll be lots of things to talk about. You know, so many teams doing so many different things. Tomorrow, the cross-country team is going to be up at Missisquoi. I could be in the Northern Valley, part of their schedule here. And today, the girls' soccer team did go to the second round of the playoffs. They did lose, unfortunately, but lost to a 15-0 Colchester team. So certainly a great year for the girls. Really a lot of fun. They're a fun team to watch. And a great year for them. And Tiger Field Hockey was able to get to a second round game as well. They did drop a game today, and so they're out, but certainly a very productive year for them, and certainly a very productive year for their coach, Megan Sears, who we interviewed here a few weeks ago. And Tiger Field Hockey, of course, will always be near to, dear to our hearts here on 92.1 WVTK. Of course, Megan being the daughter of our dearly beloved Dave Sears. And so a time ticking along here as we go towards the second half, Marshall. You know, if you're St. Jay now, you're down. It's not the end of the world, right? You're down by 15. That gets surmounted all the time. What do you do to try to make that up?
Well, you got the hardest part is going to be stopping Middlebury's offense, because you haven't proven to this point in the football game that you can stop them on your own. Is the things that have stopped Tigers' offense has been Tigers' offense themselves, with poor turnovers, laying drives, and things along those lines, and some costly putting the football on the ground when they can't do it. So if I'm St. Jay, I got to come out with a little bit more reckless abandon on the defensive side of the football. You're getting gashed on your left side, the Tigers' right side of the offense. The Bruce Wright, Chris Greer side of the offensive line has been opening up giant holes right now for this Tiger running game. And if I'm St. Jay, you got to find some way to negate that, because it is getting to the point where it's 6 to 8 yards every time the Tigers try to go to that side of the football field. And now certainly, like we talked in the pregame, this is a group of running backs that only one player is averaging less than 6 yards per carry, and that's Oakley Gordon, who's averaging, 5.25 yards per carry. So this is a very explosive offense in Middlebury, but you got to find a way. You got to get the ball back, because this offense hasn't been that bad. It's been productive. It's just, like we've said time and time again, it's just slowed down once they've hit the 40-yard line. It's this invisible barrier that they can't get past. Even the touchdown, they had to come from outside of the 40 from the 43-yard line. So if I'm saying, Jay, have some confidence in your defense. Come out, play a little reckless game, knowing, hey, this is it. You lose, you go home. Play like you got to do that. Play with it. There's a fire under you, especially right now to start the second half.
And we're going to be back for the second half here in just a moment. The Tigers are about to take the field. It's going to be second half playoff game, first round playoff game, high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
My grandfather once said, people who care build something that people care about. It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding. Hey, everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good honest deals, changing lives. It's a process and it definitely takes time. At Pullman Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Pullman Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good. Pullman Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WBTK.
Tigers getting ready to take the field here in the second half. Dennis Smith gathering them around him, asking everyone to get down on the knee and having a conversation. On the far sideline, the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers have been talking for the last minute or so. Certainly getting their mind around, what are we going to do? What's the plan here for the second half? The Middlebury Tigers, originally this game had been very close. The St. J had a chance to tie the thing up, did actually miss the extra point, but at one point the score was 7-6. Now the Tigers have stretched that out to a score of 21-6 as we would begin the third quarter. The Tigers will be having the ball to start here as St. J's come out to kick to them. St. J will be kicking from the right to the left. The Tigers will be going from the left to your right on your telephone dial. And, Marshall, if you're the Tigers right now, what are you saying as your coaches? Just hey, take it easy?
Well, we got our foot on their throat right now. You're up 21-6, and you get the football on what should be the confidence on the sideline. It should be, hey, we're about to win this football game. You know, that was always our belief. When we got the football to start the second half, you know, there was never a doubt in my mind that we were winning a football game. And that's what should be going through the minds of this football team right here. You're up by two scores. You're up by 15. You're winning this football game on this drive right here. You go down and you score, you're putting this thing out of reach. And that's got to be the mentality. That's got to be the confidence. These guys have to be feeling on the sideline that this is it, that if they score here, game's over. Get that killer instinct running. Get that going. And if I'm a coaching staff, I want to start saying, you know what's at stake. You know what happens if we score here. Get it done. Finish this football game now. Let's get to the semifinals.
Ethan Roberts has it teed up at the 40, and he approaches the ball, and he kicks it. It's going to bounce once, get grabbed by Oakley Gordon at around the 15. Actually, it's Honchel who has it. Now he gives it over to Gordon, who runs to the near side. It gets up to about the 24. That's where the Tigers are going to take it over to start the second half.
Tiger football on 92.1, brought to you by McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years, and your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins.
And the Tigers come out here with their regular three-back set. Looks like it's going to be the Fishers on the field. Ali Abdul-Sader is on the field. Trey Kaufman is on the field. So they are ready to go in their usual setup. With two tight ends, looks like everyone's going to be down in the set position. And Oakley coming under center. Here we go. Oakley's calling it out. He's got Ali going to motion from the left to the right. He hands it off to Ali. Goes right in the middle of the line, and he's got some space. Lineman grabs onto his jersey, but not before he's able to pick up about six.
And worth noting here for this Tiger football team, we'll be sending at least, as of today, five players to the North-South game. Jerry Nemo, Wyatt LeBurge, Nick Beauchamp, Sawyer Ryan, and Oakley Gordon released as five players on the South rosters. The North-South rosters were announced today, and St. Jay will be sending Xavier Giddings and Hatcher D'Agostino. Hatcher is currently out today for St. J, but certainly congratulations to those two players for St. J as well.
Gordon's under center with three running backs. He's got confidence going in motion, and he tries the middle of the line and plows forward. First down for him. Both times they've gone to the player in motion who's just turned upfield right in the middle of the line.
And the Tigers are now going away from the counter looks, and they're going with the power isos up inside. And this is something I like to see, because what St. J's done, we're talking about that pre-snap movement on the defensive line. A lot of the times they're basically just sending the defensive tackles out to the B-gap, which is going to be the gap between the guard and the tackle, the A-gap between the guard and the center. And that's opening up that A-gap wide open for this Tiger running game. Last two plays, a lot of success. Two plays and a first down. Tigers are moving.
And you have to wonder what tape they're watching, because the Tigers do go to the A-gap an awful lot. And Gordon under center with Coffin moving from left to the right. And this time it's going to come back with Ali going from the left to the right. And he goes down to the 46, plowing forward, finishing off with a lot of physicality. That's a gain of 11.
Well, the finishing off the run with a lot of physicality, but it was Wyatt LaBerge's physicality on that play against Xavier Giddings, which bounced that play open. Wyatt LaBerge is going to be pulling from the tackle position, so all that means is Nick Beauchamp's going to kick out the defensive end. Wyatt LaBerge cuts inside, and Giddings is coming across on the other side of the field. Wyatt LaBerge puts him down hard, opens up that hole for Ali Abdul-Sater to get 11 yards.
And Coffin going to motion from the right to the left. It's Gordon coming back. He hands it off to Fisher. Big hole on that left side. Good work being done by the line. Left, right, and center. It's a gain of 11. Tigers are getting real estate chunks.
And it's not hard running right now for the Tigers. This is, they get downfield and no one's touching them until they get about 5-6 yards downfield. Corlin Fisher now getting in on the action. He kind of was left out of the hoopla of the first half rushing attack here for the Tigers as Oakley Gordon stole the show. But now you start relying on that fullback a little bit to start driving out these long runs and start killing the clock.
First and 10 from about the 43 of the Hilltoppers. And Gordon has the ball, hands out to Kaufman, who tries the middle of that line again, and he plunges forward. It didn't look like it was going to get a lot, Marshall, and then you look up, and whoa, it's a five-yard gain.
Well, again, that's that pre-snap movement from the defensive line for St. Jay. They are almost getting a little too cute. They're trying to make it seem like they're trying to disguise their defensive front coverage, but again, they're going from A-gap to B-gap, and then the Tigers are just saying, you want to give us that A-gap, we'll take advantage of it every single time. Now they run that play three times for a total of about 15 yards.
And now it's Gordon under center again. Just keep going to it. They've got the two tight ends standing up. They've got the three running backs. It's the pitch to Ali coming from behind. He tries the right side of the line, trying to get towards the sideline. Picks up a couple on that run. Gain of maybe about three. Are they going to give it to him? They might give him the first down.
I'd say that was, you know, about a, like I said, 3-4 yard game, but the good job from St. Jay to string that out and force Ali Abdul-Sater to kind of not be able to cut that ball upfield. And this is something we've seen a lot of actually from Middlebury this year. The tosses really haven't worked all that efficiently. They've been a lot better when they keep it within the 5 and 7 gap, meaning between the guard tackle gap and the tackle the outside gap, but still close to the field with those quick counter plays and quick options, and not so much with those speed tosses.
And the offensive line's doing such a good job of pushing the line of scrimmage that it looks like it's a very short game, and it's about, you know, half of a first down each time because they're just getting so much push off the ball. Gordon now hangs off to Trey Coffin. He's got blockers over on the left side. He tries to use them, and he gains about four. Nick Beauchamp and Bruce Wright blocking over on that far side.
And that's a good play there from the Tigers. They try to run that counter again. And this time it's a great play from St. Jay, middle linebacker there, to come across the play, make the stick. That was Matthew Roy coming across, making the stick and stopping Trey Coffman after 4 yards. But they were unable to pick him up on the inside, which was what prevented that play from going for more yards.
Tigers have it a second and about six here from the 27 or so of the Hilltoppers. Gordon under center with three running backs. Coffin in motion from the right to the left. Gordon fakes it over to him, but then drops, rolls to his right, looking downfield. He's got some space. He's got a man over on the sideline. He might have brought it in. It looks like he did. Incomplete. Sawyer Ryan, boy, he had a really nice stretch down on that far sideline. And a little hard to tell. Maybe he just wasn't able to keep completion. Keep possession of it as he went to the ground. Really nice look there by Gordon to ride. It looked like it was going far out of bounds, but it didn't.
I think the play on that one was that I don't think he got a foot down. From my vantage point, I'm kind of cut off to the outside. But it doesn't look like he got a foot down in bounds. But still a good play and a good ball, actually, from Oakley Gordon. As Sawyer Ryan has a defender right in his back pocket, but Oakley Gordon does a great job leading him out of bounds. So the only man capable of catching that ball is Sawyer Ryan.
Gordon right now 1 for 6 for 28 yards. Gordon under center with three running backs. Ali going to motion from left to the right. Cortland Fisher kind of carried up the middle. And he gets up past the 24. And the one thing that did happen on that play as Cortland plowed forward is that Sawyer Ryan comes up holding his shoulder after that play.
And we talked about it on the two plays ago when the Tigers didn't really get much going on the counter to Trey Coffin. They didn't get much going yet. They still got 4 yards. And again, on that one, not a lot going, but they still managed five. This is a Tiger offense that's really had their way whenever they want. But this is a down now. 4th and 1, St. Jay. This was the down, this was the possession you needed to stop. Now, the Middlebury has done a great job taking 4.5 minutes off the clock here, but if St. Jay wants an opportunity to win this football game, they need to stop on this drive, and they put themselves now on 4th and 1 in a position to make that stop and try to keep this game going as long as they can.
I'll see if they leave the A gap open this time, eh? You wouldn't think that they would, certainly. But the Tigers, you know, they're going inside, they're going outside. Very hard team to really decide what's going to happen on any given play.
Well, after the couple of powers up inside from Middlebury, we haven't seen quite so much defensive line pre-snap movement. And that was really, they were just opening up the A gap, and they've stopped doing that on the last couple of plays. But the thing is that, again, Middlebury isn't making an adjustment to that pre-snap movement. They are just calling a play and running it. They don't really care once you make a movement. They're right on the play. This is not a pre-snap read offense. This is come to the line with a play. We're doing what we want to do with it. So those pre-snap movements aren't really affecting this Tiger offense.
Fourth and one from about the 23. Gordon under center with three running backs. Gordon calling it out. He's got Nemo in motion from the left to the right. Nemo trying to work up the middle. Gets enough of a hole. He does get tripped up, but he's still going to get the first down. Gain of about two.
And the impressive thing about Jerry Nemo when he gets the football is that when he does make a cut, now he doesn't make a cut like a quick side cut, put the foot in the ground, jump cut. These are more of almost like a slalom skier. He just is downfield, and he's just basically weaving his way, but he never slows down when he makes a move. He's always at his top speed, and that's what gets him the first down there.
And Gordon under center. Nemo stays in the game for the Tigers. Kaufman in motion from the right to the left. And this is going to go with Gordon rolling out to his left. Thought about pitching it, but he didn't. Held on to it. And he's going to get stopped at right about the line of scrimmage. It's going to be second and nine.
And that's a smart play from Oakley Gordon, as he saw that there was a 2-on-2 matchup. St. J does a good job defending that. They bring the corner and the safety over to that side of the play. Oakley Gordon could have easily pitched that one out to Trey Kaufman. The problem was Trey Kaufman would have been licked at the same about spot that Oakley Gordon made it. So good job. Cut the losses. Get to the ground and get what you can back to the line of scrimmage to bring up a second and 10.
And you have to wonder those two pitches earlier, whether that's still kind of in his mind. He says, hey, if we're going to end it about the same spot, let's keep it kind of safe and not do anything crazy. We are sitting on a 2-touchdown lead. Gordon under center. He's got Nemo out to the right. Gordon rolling over, looking towards Nemo. He's going to keep it to himself. He's got some blockers as he works towards that right side, powering forward, getting down to about the 5-yard line. Real nice gain there by Oakley Gordon. Gain of about 14.
And what St. J's doing here is they're stacking one side of the football field. That time they're going to roll up. So they go with a 5-down lineman set with 3 linebackers and 3 secondary men. On that last play, they roll up the backside corner to become a safety, and they pull up the play side corner to just outside the linebacker, and that opens up a play backside if the Tigers were to take advantage with a counter where they would have a man advantage and certainly a lot of room to run.
And Gordon has it. He looks back. He gives it to Kaufman, going from his right to his left. Trey's got one man to power through, but a big old low to St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers comes up and puts an end to that run. No real gain there for Trey.
And they had the man advantage on that time. The play there was if Trey Kaufman waits a little bit and allows Chris Greer to get out and kick the corner out, he can cut up inside untouched for a touchdown. Instead, he kind of rushes it, gets ahead of his blocker, and then that allows just that one-on-one tackle for St. J at about the 2-yard line, 3-yard line.
And it's going to be second and 3, 5:41 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers leading by 21-6, knocking on the door, trying to get another one here. Gordon's got Nemo out to the right, two running backs behind him. And he comes back and he hands and keeps it himself, does Oakley Gordon. That's going to be his third touchdown of the night.
And that's a backbreaking drive on a couple fronts. First off, it's a touchdown. So now the St. J is going to be down by 21 right now, extra point pending to make it 22. But at the same time, that's a 6.5-minute drive. And that's something that we haven't seen a lot of from Middlebury, especially last season and into this year. Either it's a quick drive scoring, or it's a long drive. It's a drive that doesn't really get anything. That we haven't seen these 10-minute drives. That's a great drive to start the second half. 6.5 minutes, kills the clock, extends the lead. St. J's now with no momentum and even deeper in a hole and not a lot of time to work with.
And with such a long drive, invariably you open yourself up to mistakes with young players, with high school players, and the fact that they have the ability to not make those mistakes, extremely impressive. And the Tigers end up getting the extra point is good. And so the Tigers right now leading by a score of 28-6 with 5:24 left to go in the third quarter. You're listening to High School Playoff Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Backstage Pub and Restaurant is your place to go for all of the NFL games. With specialty drink specials every game night, 75-cent wings, and a special half-pound Black Angus burger. Make Backstage Pub and Restaurant your NFL headquarters.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger Football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The busiest man in Middlebury, Oakley Gordon, is getting ready to kick it away here. Oakley has scored three touchdowns tonight. He's kicked four extra points, and now he's going to tee it off again. And it's bouncing down, getting picked by an up man at about the 20. He's running back, finding that kind of similar hole, but no doing. Spencer Carpenter, another special team sack on the night. Special team tackle. I'm sorry, getting my terminology all screwed up. We're in the 31-yard line. This is where St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers are going to start out here on a much bigger hole than they were earlier, looking to try to make something happen.
A lot to make up here for St. J, and not a lot of time, and certainly not a lot of success to build on from the first half. Some good drives, a 43-yard touchdown, but they haven't proven they can go end-to-end here as they start from the 31-yard line.
Jacob Cady by himself in the shotgun with five wide receivers. He's looking downfield. He's got nobody open. Now he's coming under pressure. He does find some space, but he dropped so far back before he ran forward that he only was able to gain a yard before Nick Beauchamp brought him down. He ran about 8 yards, but it was only a gate of one for the Hilltoppers.
I really love the poise that Katie's showing in the backfield. And he does a great job. A lot of quarterbacks, like we talked about earlier, they don't get their first read and they just break the pocket. He does a great job. He makes sure that all of his men are open before he decides to run. But because he doesn't have that size, he can't break that tackle from Bochy.
Katie dropping back, looking downfield. He's got a man coming underneath. He's able to get it to him. He's unable to shake free, but it is a gate of about seven. That was brought down by Alercio as he came crossing the field.
And a good ball there underneath to Alercio. Leads him well and doesn't put it behind him. We've seen that a couple times here from Katie, but he's looked good in the pocket. Good balls here. Now you're at a third and about 4 yard position for St. J, and really a must first down type of drive and type of scenario.
Katie's got over 100 yards, 102 yards passing on the night. He comes to the near sideline for a wide receiver, turn up field, drops out of his hands after Oakley Gordon's tackle, and it is recovered by a Hilltopper. But what looked like a very useful play, a gain of about six, ends up being basically taking them back to the original line of scrimmage for the Hilltoppers.
And Oakley Gordon is playing one heck of a ball game on both sides of the football. But that's the third time that we've seen him come up and make a stick. And there especially is Alercio coming up to the line of scrimmage and coming up to the hip by Oakley Gordon. Looks like he kind of lets up, expects it to be soft. Oakley Gordon comes in hot, puts the pump to him, forces the ball loose. St. J's fortunate enough to come on, pick up the ball. But now Middlebury's going to have an opportunity to get the football back with about 3.5 minutes left.
Yeah, fourth and seven here, so they're going to have to punt it away. And here's Katie knocking it downfield. It's going to bounce at the 37. He gets dropped to it about the 32. It was a good job by Oakley, actually, to be able to bring that in. His feet went out on him as he brought that in at the 32. More importantly than who has the ball, your starting quarterback is up and appears to be fine.
Tiger Football brought to you by Marnes Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your true value hardware store, and by Mike's Auto and Towing for all of your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike's Auto online at mikesautomid.com. That's Mike's Auto, MIDD.com.
And here out come the Tigers again, looking to do something here. Certainly been doing something tonight. The score 28-6 with 3:28 left to go in the third quarter. Right now, look to see him milk the clock in a variety of ways. Gordon's got two wide receivers, three running backs, and he hands it off to Nemo, who comes right up the middle of the field, gaining about 4 yards on that first down carry.
Continuing to get a lot of success behind Chris Green and Bruce Wright today on that right side of the line, and a good job from the backside. They run the counter play, so that's going to be Nick Beauchamp and Wyatt LeBurge coming across. A little bit of credit to this St. J off defensive front who slows it down a little bit, but regardless, Middlebury hasn't been stopped maybe more than two times for less than 2 yard gain. Everything's getting 4 to 5 yards a pop, and now these long drives are starting to accumulate here late in the third quarter.
Tigers now have four wide receivers, one running back, really a wide receiver in motion now, coming from the right to the left. Gordon's dropping back, looks for Nemo over on the left side, and Nemo just explodes, leaving people in the dust, getting down across the 40, the 35, huge gain for the young man.
And that's a great play. They do a little quick screen out to Nemo, a little bubble screen to the left side of the field. And Nemo, I think in the backfield, might be the most explosive back and most quickest back that the Tigers have. Does a great job getting the football, getting next level, taking off downfield and barely able to be brought down. But that's a wrinkle that we haven't seen from this Tiger offense yet this season. And they're pulling it out at the right time to break a long run in a football game where a score on this point in the game, on this drive, could be the end of this football game for St. Jack.
And a roughly 30-yard gain there by Jerry Nemo. Oakley Clark coming up to the line. Oakley Gordon coming to the line. He's got a man out to his right. And he takes the snap and drops back. Looks towards Coffin, but then pump fakes and now throws it downfield to no one in particular. He just decided to live for another play and chucks it out of bounds.
And the Tigers there try to bring that, essentially the same play, back to the right side. A little pump fake to Oakley Gordon, try to bite St. Jay, and then try to go over the top to Chase Messner. St. Jay not having any of it. And this has been a good secondary performance for the most part from St. Jay. They haven't bought into any play action, and that time they don't buy into the pump fake. So good work by the secondary. Unfortunately, the defensive front seven for St. Jay has not had as much luck.
And Gordon now has Chase Messner wide to his right, four receivers in total, and one running back. Nemo going motion from the left to the right, but it is going to be Fisher carrying it up, bouncing off people, but getting driven out towards his right. Gain of maybe two, a hard-earned 2 yards there for Cortland Fisher.
And again, maybe the third time that we've seen St. Jay make a stop close to the line of scrimmage on this Tiger offense. They've had their way on the offensive line throughout this football game, getting good pressure and forcing the defensive line downfield and opening up holes. But even if this isn't a successful first down or scoring drive for Middlebury, you're going to get the clock down to about a minute left in the third, and if you were to punt it or go for it, St. Jay's going to have the full field to work with, so certainly putting yourselves in a good situation if you're the Tigers.
And Gordon has now two wide receivers and three running backs. He's got Nemo coming in motion. He's got Kaufman taking it from the right to the left, getting wrapped up as he gets about 5 yards, being driven back by some Hilltoppers.
And we're certainly seeing Trey Kaufman run the ball hard, but what we're not seeing is so much patience. If he can just take another half a second to let his linemen get out in front of him, they have a lot of man advantages on every time they run this football. Now, what they're doing, when they go to the wide receiver set here to the right side, they pull the cornerback away from the play, and they have the tight end to the left side, and they're going to run that counter to the left side. They have the man advantage on the offensive line. If Trey Kaufman takes a half second to let his lineman get out in front of him, he can break that because there's no secondary support on that side of the football field.
And Gordon coming up under center. He's got four wide receivers. He has Fisher in the backfield. He's got Nemo going from his left to his right. And drop it back. He's looking over here for Chase Messner, who grabs it about the 30, turns up to the 20, finds a little bit of a gap as he goes forward, gets driven out at the 14-yard line. Nice gain there, Gordon to Chase Messner on that play.
That's a great play call on fourth down, but an even better block from Jerry Nemo downfield. They're going to motion Jerry Nemo across the offense to the right side, and he's just going to seal in the play side defensive end, and that allows Chase Messner to get downfield. Good block from Trey Kaufman on the cornerback to open up a little bit of a gap, and a great job from Chase Messner to put on the turbos, make sure he gets enough for the first down, puts the Tigers inside the 15.
Ed Gordon now has his four wide receivers, one running back. Pretty unusual setup for the Tigers. They've been going to a lot of fair amount, and there's some motion there. Beauchamp again got a little excited and jumped early.
Tigers have only the second time they've hurt themselves with a penalty on the second false start there on Nick Beauchamp. But they go to the four wide receiver set. Really all that is two wide receivers, and they're going to put the two halfbacks, Nemo and Trey Kaufman, into the slot. And that's typically something they've run, is they've motioned one of the backs back into the backfield and run a triple option out of that look. So they really are in a different formation, but they're certainly not changing the playbook and the play call from that formation. All it's doing is spreading out the St. Jay defense.
And so the Tigers here are going to talk it over here as the third quarter comes to an end. Middlebury Tigers leading by a score of 28-6. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Change is good, especially if you're not happy with the current situation. Bordon Insurance Agency wants to let you know that they'll be there for you if and when you want to make that change. With local agents that live right here in your community. For home, auto, office, farm, boat, you name it, they can provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of all your insurances. Bordon Insurance, Merchants Road, downtown Middlebury, and at BordonInsurance.com. Bordon Insurance, local people insuring local people.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger Football.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Oakley Gordon's under center. He turns around and hands it to Jerry Nemo. Goes plowing forward there. And he is going to get to about the 14-yard line. It's going to be third and about 10 here for the Tigers as players go run out onto the field. And just to let you know, actually we'll get to that in a minute here. We're going to have to look over towards the sideline.
They basically get the yards back from that penalty on the last play.
Second and ten.
Yep. Certainly a manageable second down here for the Tiger offense, considering what they've been doing throughout this game.
And Gordon with one receiver. And he rolls back, looking downfield for it. He's going to keep it himself over to that left side, but then turns back towards the backfield, apparently trying to get outside the tackler, who was number seven, Burke Hughes, coming up. And actually, Oakley ends up losing a yard on that run.
And now St. Jay still hasn't, you know, a bend-don't-break style of offense, or excuse me, defense in the second half, but now you're still back up against the wall, third and 13 from your own 14-yard line. This is certainly four-down territory for Middlebury, already up 22 points. Trying to force a turnover here for St. Jay is probably the only way they can survive this drive without it being completely costly here early in this fourth quarter.
And with a third and 13, Nemo's now in motion. Gordon's coming back, and he's going to keep it himself as he rolls out, looks down the field, and it's Sawyer Ryan with a touchdown from Oakley Gordon. That was a touchdown of about 18 yards.
And that's the first time that the Tigers had been able to throw the football with a lot of success. The first time that the play action has worked to proficiency. A great job from Oakley Gordon to get the play action fake. And then Sawyer Ryan does a great job falling in behind the safety in the middle of the field for Middlebury. And a good ball from Oakley Gordon. Finds him wide open. Doesn't try to overthrow it. Doesn't try to do anything too special. Just hit the man while he's open as he crosses the goal line. Tigers certainly are ready to put this thing away and put up a pretty good margin of victory.
And now it is Gleason waiting for the snap. He gets it, he puts it down, and Gordon gets another one to go. So the Middlebury Tigers leading 35-6. 10:35 left to go in the game. It's high school playoff football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera and Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, it's the Middlebury Tigers firmly in control now, leading the game by a score of 35-6. And some of the less hardy fans are starting to say, it's cold out here. And they're starting to head for home with their blankets. But many other fans staying in the audience, ready to watch the rest of this game and getting excited, certainly for next weekend's playoff matchup, which will be next Friday night here at Doc Collins Field and here on 92.1 WVTK. And the kickoff goes to a Hilltopper. It comes carried up to about the 37. That's where St. Jay will take over with the ball. And we should note about next Friday's game that because it's a state semifinal, it is considered a VPA game. It's not really run by the local people here. It's run by the state. And the ticket prices are a little different. And Athletic Director Sean Farrell wanted to let everyone know about that. Next week, the price will be $7 for adults, $4 for students, and $4 for seniors. All right, so quarterback still in there trying to do his thing, but he's absolutely getting swallowed up there as Katie gets brought down. And keeper, he gains about 2 yards brought down by Morgan Huestis.
And with those ticket prices, all the more reason to tune in to 92.1 next week. A selfless plug. All the reason to tune in, listen to a great broadcast of a great football game.
Fair enough. All right. So we've got Katie is back there, and he's got three wide receivers and a running back. And he's looking over here at a nearby man who slips as he gets the ball. It was brought in for a gain of six by Patrick Greenan. But then his back feet went out of him, and he wasn't able to get anything else on that.
Now, although, you know, St. Jay's going to look at the scoreboard and look at a couple missed opportunities, but certainly a lopsided score, there's still plenty to pull from this. You know that you have a great quarterback in Katie, who's only a freshman. You're going to bring back Yuri next season, and I would all but assume he's going to be the starting quarterback, just looking at what he was able to do as a running quarterback. Katie doesn't really quite bring that at this point. But he's only going to be a sophomore. Plenty of years to develop, and you're looking at possibly 2 years of him as your starter. A lot of hope in St. Jay.
Katie threw it over the right side. Look at that spiral. That really is a nice throwing ball. Man gets a little short of the sticks over on the right side. It was a lateral pass, and it got brought in by one of his regular receivers, Shane Alercio. So it's going to be fourth and about two here for the Hilltoppers. But just to describe it, if you could see it at home, if you want to see a nicely delivered football with a tight spiral, a lot of movement on that spiral, that's a nice ball.
And Katie's a guy who, you know, he's coming in maybe like 5'7", 5'8", from my standpoint up here. Certainly a lot of room to develop physically. But like you said, the fundamentals of his game are very strong.
And Katie has it. He's dropping back. He's looking downfield. He's got the ball head high, ready to release. Another nice throw and brought right in by the man. Nobody behind him, able to run in for the touchdown. Really nice job there by the receiver, Alercio, to bring that thing in. Beautiful throw by Katie over the outstretched arm of the defender. Nice patience by Alercio to be able to bring that in and stay calm. And it's a touchdown for the Hilltoppers.
And that's, again, a great delivery. A football 54-yard connection, and that was caught about 30 yards downfield. A great ball, great spiral. Hits his man perfectly in stride, and that's what we're talking about with the capability that Katie brings to the football field. Very talented young kid and a great arm on his shoulders, and this is a guy that, you know, you look at the future of St. Jay, could be very bright with him under center, and also the combination of Yuri in the backfield. A great ball and a great drive, a little too late here for the St. Jay Hilltoppers.
Over 160 yards so far for Katie. They're going for two on this. He drops back. He looks over to his left, unable to complete it. So that's no good on the point after. But it is going to be 35-12 with 8:32 left to go in this game. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust, and a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And there's been a couple nice strikes thrown here by Jacob Katie in this game. And one for 43 yards for a touchdown and one for 54 yards for a touchdown. Hasn't been enough for St. Jay, and we posit that it won't be enough. But still, it's been some exciting action here to watch here at Doc Collins Field on this slightly chilly Friday night. The Tigers are leading by 35-12. There's an onside kick attempt by St. Jay trying to get the ball back to make something happen. Really no chance on that onside kick. Goes bouncing to Parker Gross, is able to bring it in. Therefore, it's going to be the Tigers taking the ball over again.
And honestly, a good onside kick, a great job. What you want to do with the onside kick is you want to kick it so that it bounces about twice low, and then the third bounce is going to bounce it up high in the air. That's what St. Jay's able to do on that one. The only problem was that it was a little bit too far vertical, meaning it was a little too far downfield. You want to make that thing a little bit more towards the sideline so that when it makes that big hop, you have the St. Jay, your guys can come up and try to make a play on that ball in the air. There was no St. Jay Hilltoppers around the ball.
Starters are still in for the Tigers. And it is Gordon here handing it off to Coffins, trying the left side of the line, getting stacked up. and pushed back. There's going to be no gain on that run for the Tigers.
And, you know, this is a situation where you look back to the Essex game, and the Tigers took the starters out about a drive too early that allowed Essex to get back into that football game late. Certainly at 35-12, you wouldn't assume that you could, you know, that this would be out of reach. But on that last defensive possession, you had your second stringers in, and St. Jay able to take advantage of it. If you're this coaching staff, you really don't want to put yourself in that same situation that you put yourselves in Essex. You kind of want to run this thing away as much as you can, but you also do want to avoid injury. So taking them out a little bit from now certainly wouldn't you wouldn't assume to be, you know, too detrimental.
And Oakley's down under center. He's got two tight ends standing up. He's got three running backs, and he's putting in the guns. He's keeping it himself, working over on that right sideline more than he has doing this game, more than he has any other time this season. It's another run for Oakley Gordon, and he gains about five.
And that's a good run from Gordon, but certainly that might have been a play where a pitch to Ali Abdul-Sitter would have been effective. But Oakley Gordon has had that killer instinct in this football game. Whenever he's gotten the chance to cut that football upfield, he's taken advantage of it and gets about 5-6 yards there to bring up a third and a and a decent five here. But the Tigers are pretty content with letting this play clock run as much as they're going to allow it to as we come down to 7:10 here left in the fourth quarter.
And it is going to be third and about five here for the Tigers. They're about at the 49-yard line of the Hilltoppers. Hilltoppers move their defense. Tigers hand it off to Ali Abdul-Sader. Runs over that right side. A big space over there. Picks up the first down before he gets dropped by a defensive back for St. Jay.
Good 6-yard carry there from Ali Abdul-Sader, and that's going to give the Tigers a fresh set of downs as we go under 7 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter. And a good drive. Another good play call. The Counters had a lot of success all season and into today in particular. They've done a great job getting to the right side of the offensive line. Again, we preach this time and time again behind Chris Greer and Bruce Wright. That right side of the offensive line has created a lot of room to run, and the counter run has been almost flawless to that side of the football field, as has the triple option look. So the Tigers have found a weakness in the St. Jay defense, and throughout this football game, they've exploited it.
They're really sealing that quarter. There's just so much space when the running back gets out there. Two tight ends standing, three running backs behind. Gordon comes out. It's the pitch to Trey Coffin coming from right to left. A lot of space there, and he just goes down. He blows the wheel at about the 42. He appears to be okay. He's getting up mad, not in pain. But he had some blockers in front of him. Really only a 3-yard gain. What could have been a lot more?
Absolutely, Dan. That's a tough one. You know what you just left on the field. It gets about 2-yard gain, but there was a lot more to be picked up from Trey Kaufman. He did have the right idea. He did have the right spot to take the cut and cut that back up inside. Unfortunately, though, his feet give out underneath him, and it only gets a 2-yard gain, which what could have been about a 7 to 8 yard window worth of room to run.
Tigers leading by 35-12, 5:53 left in the game, and time is ticking for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. Oakley's under center. He's turning to talk to Fisher, and now he turns, and he's back to his role again. This time he hands it off. I think actually it was Gross, and Gross immediately gets stacked up as he gets into that line. No gain there.
As the clock hits 5:30, the Tigers continue to take this no huddle but rather slow approach, taking their time getting the play in. Going to bring up about a third and I would say about a short six, long five here for the Tigers, in a situation where another two first downs would just about put this game away. We're closing on 5 minutes left, and St. Jay has had no opportunities to stop the Tiger offense and certainly haven't used any of their timeouts to slow the clock.
And St. Jay, give it to the St. Jay cheerleaders. They're over on that far sideline. They must be freezing. And they're giving it out. They're giving their school spirit out for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. And it is Gordon. He's got Ali in motion. And he's got a fullback cranking up the middle of the field there. That's Gross. Finds a nice gap there behind your right side of the line. Getting a big gain there for the Tigers. Roughly 10 yards.
And that's two guys, Chris Greer and Bruce Wright, two guys who are going to be left off that North-South roster as of today. Certainly a lot of things change, but they're coming out proving, hey, they are talented football players. They may not be on that list, but these guys are deserving of postseason recognition. That has been the offensive side of the ball. The two captains who have a great chemistry on the football field. We've seen it all season, and today is just kind of a highlight marker of it. They are getting space down this downfield for this Tiger offensive backfield, and it's getting a lot of success every time they touch it.
And Gordon's under center. There's those wide gap in the middle, and the Tigers are going to try. Actually, they're going to go a little left of that gap, run into where the middle of the line shifted to, and as a result, get no gain.
And That's not a bad play call. You're going to gut the punch up the middle on first down. You're going to get 2 or 3 yards. They go to that ISO play, something that has been working throughout the game. And just give credit where credit's due. Good job by the defensive front there from St. Jay. Something that we haven't seen a lot of. We saw it on the opening drive once or twice. St. Jay defense was able to get some pressure in the backfield. But for the most part, this offensive line from Middlebury has done a great job pushing the defensive linemen downfield and giving this room for the backfields to move and not allow them to get contact until they're 3-4 yards downfield.
Second and 8 for the Tigers from the 26 of St. Jay. We've got Ali in motion from the right to the left. And we've got Jerry Nemo getting it from the left to the right, bouncing his way through a hole, through some gaps on that right side of the line again, and getting down about to the first down marker.
And you hate to be picky with this good of a football team in Middlebury, but the one thing that they may lack in a backfield with so much consistency is a game-breaking type of back. They do have a lot of these backs. Like we said, 6 yards of carry is certainly great. And this isn't a bad complaint to have, that every back is that good that they can just get you 6 yards. We haven't seen a game-changing back that comes in and can break a 50-yard run out of nowhere once a game. But that's not a bad thing. This is just a football team that's built on, we're going to wear you down time and time again, and we're seeing that again tonight.
And that's a little more of the classic Middlebury thing than maybe we saw last year. And Nemo has it now, going to the right side again, twisting and turning, smashing through people, gaining a decent gain on that. Again, the ability of the line to push forward, gaining a first down after a nice 5-yard run.
And that's certainly, like you said, you know, you get this luxury the last 2 years with the monsters that you had in the backfield, Colin Hathaway, Bobby Ritter, and Austin Robinson, that the trifecta of guys that could just break a long run whenever they wanted to. This offense is different, but I would argue that it's just as effective. They aren't going to break a 70-yard gain, but they're going to break a 70-yard drive. They're going to get these 6 yards every time. It may not come in one play, but it's going to come in chunks, and it's just as effective as long as the ball's going in the end zone at the end of the drive.
And the Tigers have one receiver to the left, two tight ends, and three running backs. So there goes Nemo working over to the right side, some stutter stepping, trying to get past some people. His stutter step allowed him to then pop over to the right side and gain a 5-yard gain there for Jerry Nemo.
And a good job. That's great patience from Jerry Nemo. We've seen that a lot from him tonight. A lot of great possessions where he's gotten the ball, has seen that the hole isn't quite there, slows it down a little bit, and then is able to burst through the gap or create a gap on his own. And that play again, the linemen fall down in front of him. He's able to do a little short stutter step, which is allows that play, that hole to open up to the perimeter, bounces it outside, and spins down for about a 6-7 yard gain.
And with that 7-yard gain, that's right, it's going to be 2nd and 3, basically, from the 5. And it is Gordon coming back, and now he is going to keep it himself, but gets tripped up. We'll see whether or not he was able to jump far enough for the first down.
And the Tigers, regardless, here as we hit 1:35 left in the fourth quarter in the football game. Two great drives. This one goes for about 9 minutes long. If this were to end, you know, at the zero mark of the scoreboard, and then you have that 6.5 minute drive to kick off the half. Great job of ball possession here in the second half for Middlebury. They don't allow St. Jay's offense to get on the field twice. That's it. They're on the field for two possessions in the second half. And this was an offense that had some success with Katie in the backfield for the Hilltoppers, and now, you know, that's what a great luxury of a decisive backfield is.
And for now, it's Gordon. He looks like he's going to keep it himself, and he's going to get dropped down. It looked like he would hand it off to the fullback, that he would have plunged forward and in, but Gordon does keep it, and it's going to end up being 4th and 1. No gain on that, but as you say, certainly really no harm done. Tigers sitting on a great lead, 35-12, with about a minute left.
Absolutely not, and you know, coming in, you know, you get an opportunity now to attempt a field goal with 40 seconds left. Certainly never a bad opportunity. This is essentially an extra point as they're going to be kicking from the 4-yard line. But still an opportunity, a good drive, and great possessions in the second half. Ball control of the second half is why the Tigers are able to walk away with a victory here in the quarterfinals.
And now it's Gordon putting up the extra point again. And he is 6-for-6 on extra points. That's not extra point. It's a field goal, I'm sorry. And it's 38-12. I got a little overexcited. 38-12 for the Tigers. 3-point kick for Oakley Gordon. I haven't seen one all season, so it threw me off.
Ryan, you know, when you're that close, you're 2 yards behind the spot where the extra point would be. No fault there, but that one. But again, good drive. A great possessive holding drive for the Tigers. Cap it off with a field goal. Certainly not the luxury luxury or the, you know, the luxurious way or the fancy way with a touchdown, but you'll take 3 points where you get it, especially when that clinches a chance to go to the semifinals, makes it a 31-game winning streak and a matchup with either Hartford or Colchester. Hartford leading 13-0 in that football game down in White River Junction. So, you know, big matchup next week, and certainly a good game, a lot of confidence, something that we haven't seen. We talked about it. You want to see an offense that gets going early. We saw that tonight with Middlebury.
And so Middlebury's going to come out. There's only about 18 seconds left to go in this game, which is why we kept it here. Often we'd move you off to a quick break. 18 seconds left, and it's basically just going to get timed out here when goes. The audience clearly knows this. They're getting up and starting to head to their cars. I think there's probably a few numb toes here in the audience here at Doc Collins Field. October does come cold here at the end of the second half of the month. Halloween just on the way. Judging by that hat, for sure. And the kick is up, and it's going to bounce at about the 15, get past the Hilltopper. He's going to be at about the 6, and he's going to get his last tackle of the year in as Tigers come up and lay him down. Ball pops out, but I think that was after the tackle. So there's going to be time here for one play for St. Jay. We'd expect him probably just to kneel on it.
And a great opportunity to congratulate St. John's on a good season. This is a young football team like we talked about. You come in and you miss two seniors due to suspension for this football game on either side of the ball. But a young football team, four sophomore starters on the defensive side of the ball, just two senior starters. So you're looking at a very young defense coming in. And then on the other side of the ball, just three seniors on offense. So you're going to bring back nine starters if you're going to... eight stars with Yuri under center next season, you would assume. So a young football team has a lot of success this season. 1 year removed from that undefeated trip to the state championship game, just to fall one game short of a state championship to these Tigers. Applaud St. Jay and the coaching staff on what they've done this season.
Yeah, and they made it an exciting game as we got a last run here up the middle from number 23, Ethan Roberts, who probably didn't get as many chances to carry it as he could have, given his talent. But that's the end of the game. The Middlebury Tigers are moving on to the state semifinals. They've won by a score of 38-12 over the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. We'll be back with all the post-game, including our J.P. Carrera Player of the Game, right after this. It's high school playoff football action on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Houston's Farm Supply of Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Virgins do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Virgins. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday, starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
The 2015-2016 hockey season is upon us, and 4th and Goal has everything you need. Hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. Hockey skates and figure skates, too. They are stocked and ready to fit the Addison County skaters. Men and women, boys and girls from head to toe. 4th and Goal, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. 4th and Goal Sports.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Houston's Farm Supply of Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers. Available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Virgins, Middlebury, 92.1. WVTK. This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1. WVTK.
Welcome back to Doc Collins Field as the Middlebury Tigers roll to a 38-12 victory in a rematch of last year's state championship game against the St. J. Hilltoppers. The Tigers running through, got the offense going real quick, as we'll give you a scoring breakdown before the J.P. Carrera player of the game. Tigers jumped off to a 7-0 lead in the first quarter on a 1-yard touchdown run by Oakley Gordon with 2:26 left to play. St. J. answered, 9:44 to go in the first half on a 43-yard touchdown from Jacob Cady to Ethan Robertson. Extra point would be no good. It would be 7-6. Middlebury answered again. Oakley Gordon, 7-yard touchdown run with 4:28 left. Extra point was through the uprights, making it 14-6. And Middlebury, a Parker Gross 3-yard touchdown run with just 32 seconds left in the first half, made it 21-6 at halftime. Second half got going in a 6.5-minute drive for Middlebury, kicked off the second half, capped by a 3-yard touchdown from Oakley Gordon, making it 28-6. Oakley Gordon again with his fourth touchdown of the game. This was a passing connection to Sawyer Ryan with 10:35 left to go in the football game, making it 35-6. St. J. would answer with 8:32 left on a 54-yard connection from Jacob Cady to Shane Alercio, making it 35-12 with just 19 seconds left. A 21-yard field goal from Oakley Gordon made it 38-12. That's our final score, and a lot of that success from this offense was behind the right side of the offensive line, and part of our player of the game here would be Arky Sears.
And our J.P. Carrera player of the game for this first round of the high school playoffs is none other than a person whose name we said an awful lot tonight, both from the offensive line perspective and that defense perspective, just really making a lot of different things happen. And that player of the game is Bruce Wright. So first of all, Bruce, thanks for joining us up here in the booth. And so a thought from you. I mean, not only are you, you know, a leader on the team, you're also, we've known each other for years, a pretty insightful guy. I get to ask you some fun questions here. How did you feel about the team's mindset coming into tonight? You knew that you were the favored team. You knew that they were starting a freshman quarterback. Were there any worries? Did everybody seem okay?
That quarterback thing wasn't really in our minds. I mean, we all knew it was a thing, but this was a rematch of the state championship game last year, and I mean, they wanted nothing more to come out and beat us. So, I mean, we had to answer right back, and we definitely did that tonight. So, I mean, there's never really a worry, but I mean, you're always a little bit concerned. But if we go out and play Tiger football, I mean, can't lose.
Were you surprised by the quarterback play? You're talking about a 14-year-old. In terms of overall efficiency, he was by far the most productive quarterback that's been against you this year. Colchester had their spots and their chances, but in terms of pure efficiency, he did pretty well. Did that surprise you guys? What adjustments did you have to make?
Well, Colchester's quarterback was a senior, so I mean, that was kind of expected. He was pretty good, but I mean, for 14, this kid looked amazing. I mean, he was really good. We knew they had a good quarterback before he got ineligible or whatever happened. So we kind of had the same mindset. We had to contain him, and I think we did a pretty good job of that tonight. So
you sure did, and it ended up working out even when they got completions. They tend to be for shorter yardage, minus a couple plays here and there. On that offensive line, I mean, as you started getting that groove, as you start getting your groove in a game, when do you kind of know that you have it? When do you know that you have it, that the people you're out there with, that Chris has it, that other people out there with you have it?
I mean, When the game's over, we know we have it.
There you go.
So, I mean, until then, it's always a game. I mean, they were doing a lot of different things on the line, jumping back and forth and trying to confuse us. And I think me and Chris did a really good job of handling that. So, I mean, props out to my blocking partner because he did amazing. And, I mean, I wouldn't be here without him. So,
sure, absolutely. And he was going to, I think Andy Kirkaldi was going to grab him while you came up here. So, certainly a great night for Chris and for everybody on that line. We talked a little bit about teams getting cute. You know, so often in sports you say don't get too cute. They tried a couple funky things. Did that shifting make any difference at all?
No, I mean, we kind of expected it. They were going to throw the kitchen sink at us because, I mean, they had nothing to lose. It was, like I said, it was the rematch of the championship game, and so they wanted nothing more to take us out. So, I mean, if they were going to do anything in their power to do it, and, I mean, we just adjusted to it and played our football and came out with a victory.
And you're not a team, I mean, and Marshall talks about it. He has a long experience with this team. You're not a team that's going to overly react to shifts anyway.
No, there's no need to. I mean, we have our blocking assignments, we have our rules, and if we block our rules, we know that we can do our thing. So
exactly what Marshall said before. It's pretty great to have that insight. So next week you will be taking on the Hartford Hurricanes, and really from perspective of somebody who's been doing this now a little while, that's kind of a matchup that we always, every year, it's like, ooh, Middlebury Hartford, how is that going to turn out? Two tough teams, two physical teams, sometimes mirror images of each other. What's your thinking about hearing that Hartford's going to be your opponent?
I mean, they're very similar to us. They run a very similar offense, very hard nose. They want to run the ball. They don't want to do a lot of passing, but they'll lull you to sleep with the run, and then they're going to try to pop that one over the top for the score. So we just got to be ready for that. And I mean, it's going to be a good game no matter what happens. Hartford's always a good team no matter their record. And I mean, they hate us. I mean, it's clear. So it's going to be a good game. And you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And certainly it was Middlebury who stopped Hartford's 33-game winning streak several years ago. You know Hartford's going to be keyed up to end the 31-game winning streak that the Tigers are going to come in going for next weekend. 9-0. Certainly somebody who's been a tremendous contributor all the way along the years in those 31 games. Bruce Wright, you know how this works. This is your one time up here. You get it. You can't get it again. But congratulations on being the JP Kerner Player of the Game. Go enjoy it with your boys. And we're going to come back with a little more of the extra post-game show here. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready, hut, hut, hut.
Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergence and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms Hot Chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance, exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October. Visit Della Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on victory and a five-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports, 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh.
Della Motorsports. .net.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And boy, was the high school football on. The Middlebury Tigers took the lead, and they really never looked back. It got a little close in a couple moments, but the Tigers putting this thing away in kind of regular Tiger fashion here and dominating the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. An exciting game. You know, Marshall, this season has been, although it's been an undefeated season, as though it's been 9-0 so far, 31 straight games, it's been a really exciting season. There's been a lot of games where a lot of really interesting things have happened.
Absolutely, and tonight was an opportunity for them to face off against a freshman quarterback and in a position where you've never seen film on the kid, so you don't know what you're going to get from him, and that, to me, that's a very interesting point. And they come out, and St. J. had a lot of success in the second quarter and into a little bit of the second half. They only had two possessions in the second half, but an interesting matchup to face a 14-year-old under center who had a lot of success. Great adjustments made by Middlebury throughout this football game to come out and know that you may not have a lot of film on him, but know that they're going to run the same offense as they typically do. Great job by the coaching staff and the players to utilize a game plan and make halftime adjustments to make sure that even though you may not know what was coming at you, to have a decent idea and be able to make adjustments when they started coming and started changing around.
And a remarkable thing, you talked before the game about how the coach of St. J. had really come out in favor of his freshman quarterback and said, hey, this is a guy that could come up and do this. And they heavily relied on him. He had over 160 yards passing. He had two touchdowns. They only ran the ball several times in the second half period.
Yep.
Now, they didn't have a ton of possessions. They didn't have a ton of plays, but still, you know, they really did rely on him. They weren't just making it up to the point maybe where they went too far away from mixing in the running back, who at times showed flashes at the beginning of the game and then never really got a chance to get on track there.
Yeah, I did expect to see a lot more than we did of Ethan Roberts, but I think a large part of that is that when you don't have Colin Urie, a guy that had run for 700 yards and 2,000 all-purpose yards through the air and the ground and 27 touchdowns. When you don't have him in the backfield, it certainly does change the approach to the football game, and I think that not having a dual threat as much as Urie is in the backfield, that quarterback certainly hurt Roberts' opportunities to get open because Middlebury didn't have to make a thought saying, okay, we got to defend the read option. We can basically, if they're running the football, we know they're running the football into the inside. We don't have to worry about the quarterback booting it out to the outside. I think that hurt Roberts, especially early on when they couldn't get anything going, and then as they fell down, if this was a close football game, I think St. J. would have been fine with, you know, 3-4 yards per carry, which they were getting. But when you're down by two scores, you need to score quickly. They abandoned that running game, went to a passing attack that, although it was effective, put the running game in a position where it couldn't get any confidence and any consistency going, and it hurt them when they needed it on third down, fourth down, and 1 or 2 yards.
Yeah, but the Tigers were very consistent, and they kept it to the ground. They had six different rushing runners touch the ball, and Oakley Gordon threw it some, actually had some nice long completions, including two long passes to Jerry Nemo, but not a ton through the air. They really didn't need it. But this sets up a pretty interesting game next week. I think if people could kind of script it out, hey, who are you going to play? I think if people could do it for ratings and interest, I think Middlebury and Hartford for a semifinal game, boy, I think anyone would ask for that.
And we talked about that last week, that if you want to win a state championship this season in Division I, you got to go through some type of combination of Hartford, Middlebury, and Rutland. And Rutland is getting the lucky end of this draw, as they only got to go through one of them. Now, Middlebury and Hartford, if they want to win a state championship, in all likelihood, they're going to have to go through each other, and then probably Rutland in the state final, depending on what happens with the CVU-Brattleboro game, CVU up late in that football game. Now, the winner of that game would get Rutland in the semifinals. But certainly, that's what we talked about. These are two teams that, if you want a state championship, you got to go through them. And now, they get this primetime matchup here at Doc Collins, and a restoring of a rivalry that really hasn't ever fizzled away. As Bruce talked about, this is not, it's not a lot of distaste, and there was a couple years when Middlebury dropped down to the Division II level where that rivalry a little bit dissipated because you didn't see each other, and you know, for me personally, you see Hartford once, you can't really hate them that much because you see them once in a state championship game senior year, you knew they were a great team, and they were in the middle of their 33-game winning streak. But now that you're back to D1 in Middlebury, that rivalry has been, you know, renewed, and although they didn't play in the regular season, no better time to play a team than the semifinals at home. Hartford's going to come in. They're going to want to do what Say J did. They're going to want to spoil that 31-game winning streak. Now, this was the field that the 33-game winning streak ended for Hartford. And Hartford would love to come in and just end a 31-game winning streak on that same field. The redemption for a lot of these kids, and some of those kids might not have been on the roster at the time. They would have been sophomores on that team. But regardless, that is, you take pride in a 33-game winning streak. And when you see another school approaching your record, you want to be the one that stops them, especially when, you know, they were the one that stopped your record-setting winning streak. You know, it's going to be a lot of intrigue, and I'm excited for that football game. And as much as you want to look at what Rutland did this week to Mount Anthony and how potent they've been, I think that game, this game next week, is going to be a big deciphering on who could be a state championship, obviously, because one of them's going to the state championship game, but also because that team's going to be battle-tested, and they're going to be battle-tested recently, as Rutland may be going through a CVU-Brattleboro team that probably on paper and maybe on the field isn't going to stack up well against them.
Well, it's going to be great, and you may have to go through Middlebury, Rutland, and Hartford to get to the state championship game, but Marshall has to go through at least Hartford or Rutland to get home and back down to Springfield tonight. So we're going to wrap this thing up by letting you know that we're going to be here next Friday, of course, for the state semifinal game here at Doc Collins Field, where the Middlebury Tigers will host the number 3-ranked Hartford Hurricanes. For Marshall Hastings, I'm Bjarke Sears. For Jim Tye back in the studio, for everyone associated with 92.1 WVTK and the One Credit Union Radio Network, we thank you for listening, and we can't wait for next weekend. I'm about as excited for this football game as I've been for any game in a long time. We hope you'll join us on the radio, over the airwaves, and through your computer if necessary for the state semifinal game. Have a great week.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Vergennes. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value Hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porsche. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barry. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one.
and J.P. Carrera & Sons Concrete. Always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WBTK and more information, visit 921WBTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WBTK.